The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then boomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not a Arthard.
Yeah, well, then me, yes. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The conversation begins well before the show starts and goes well after it ends.
That's for sure.
All right. This is going to be a great show.
It's a lot of excitement.
It's the last one before Saturday night. Patriots take on the Broncos here at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff is actually at 8:15, and we'll be there. PPGS starts at 6 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern time here down in the studios. Paul and Andy will be doing that.
First ever playoff edition.
Yeah, Matt in the booth. So it'll be great. I can't wait till Saturday. Don't you feel like you're a little kid and Christmas is coming?
I do. I can't wait till Saturday either. I just want the game to get here and I want to see what happens.
Yeah. It and we don't know what will happen.
You never know.
I think I know.
But you never know.
But you never know.
You never know for sure.
I thought,
and you didn't know.
I thought I knew last weekend.
I thought Pittsburgh would beat Denver, and you said that they shouldn't even. You know, that's now both of us have used that phrase for a trip to Denver as long as the plane lands, and both of us have lost.
Well, I actually amended it a little and said as long as the plane lands and they score 4 points, they'll win.
Well, they scored 23.
Right. Web radio
6-0. Right, it was over.
Right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. I was watching Bill Belichick's press conference this morning, which went on once the question about Deion Branch, Shaliz Manzi-Young asked about it, and he jumped right into that, and that was
full bore. How do you know who asked the questions?
I could hear.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe I just have a bad TV.
Oh, on the web you can hear it. On TV you can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was watching the press conference.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's exactly what I'm looking for my director of interactive media.
When Chris is doing the web, he's in that back room there. He actually turns up the volume for the questioner. Then when Bill starts talking, he turns it back down. On TV, they're getting the feed through the in-house channel, and no one's doing that.
Yeah, because I can't even hear mumbles in the background.
I'll tell you, I had a conversation just yesterday with No Socks, and we're going to wire something up for next year permanently so that we finally solve that can't hear the question problem, and we're going to put in a HD camera so it'll look a little better.
So that Paul and I have to be careful what we're saying when we're sitting in that
room. You do anyway, because I have noticed sometimes before Bill gets there, if Chris hasn't turned, this is on the internet, if Chris hasn't turned it down, I can hear you guys talking, and, I can sometimes distinguish who is talking.
And I happen to be loud sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you take anything from Bill's mood? I know you like to read his moods, and I thought he was in a good mood.
The word shipper came up a couple times, and I thought he was upbeat.
Smiles.
Absolutely.
Still shot down things he didn't want to talk about. Ian Rappaport asked a question about I understand you've devoted some resources to helping Bill O'Brien do both jobs this week, and Bill Belichick didn't want to talk about that, said Bill O'Brien has worked as hard as anybody, and we're all just focused on this one job and playing our best game Saturday night against the Broncos. But other answers, you're right, the glowing answer about Deion Branch and comparing him to not only Troy Brown and Kevin Faulk, which we all know the love there, but also Randy Moss, which I think a lot of people found interesting that he put him in that mix of that type of a player. And a lot of praise for Rob Gronkowski and everything he does, although he wouldn't put Gronkowski and Hernandez in that intuitive class.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Plus, they're young.
Right.
I felt bad for Kevin Faulk while we were listening.
He said Kevin Faulk.
No, he was talking about him in the past tense.
He said like Troy was, like Kevin was.
He used the past tense, and I felt bad.
I caught it.
It caught, like if I were listening, I'm
hey, you know what? I didn't
hello,
catch
I'm
that.
Still here.
I thought he said just like Troy Brown, Kevin Faulk.
He said past tense.
Well, the second time around, he said like Troy was, like Kevin was. And I immediately thought, because I laughed at myself with Andy yesterday, because I went up to Kevin, and I was talking to him a little bit, and I said, ready for one last Super Bowl run? And as soon as I said it, now you know what I meant, and he knew exactly what I meant, because he immediately slapped me in the face. He immediately punched me in the balls. No, he immediately said that's the plan, boss, and he was didn't take any offense to it. But immediately, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, If I'm him, I'm thinking, who's this SOB thinking this is my last
right. And if he had been Tyrone Poole or Otis Smith or any of these guys.
Who says I'm retiring?
Bristled.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was smiles. Giddy is probably a decent term. Chipper.
Giddy.
I think he's ready for the game.
I don't know if I'd say giddy.
I'd say giddy. He is giddy to get on that football field.
Yeah.
I think he is. He said everybody's excited after a week off to get back out there. I think he legitimately is. He's raring to go, get out there and get a monkey off the old back.
Did you get it? I know he said, guys are, back on the field and, there'll be some game time decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think he's talking about?
I don't know. I don't think it's the offensive lineman. Matt Light spoke yesterday. Logan Mankins is speaking today. I think those guys are 100% all-in starters.
Vollmer, maybe?
Maybe Vollmer.
Vollmer could be one of the game time.
He's the interesting one because why is he around?
Right.
If you're not going to play him now, then when?
Yeah,
get another body in here.
I tell you, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. I really am, but I'm just really getting excited about spending a week in Indy.
That would seem to be a strange sentence. I'm really getting excited about spending a week in Indy.
I am.
That's a strange sentence.
Why?
If you're that giddy and something bad happens, I can let you go to the combine if you want.
No, but you know what? There's a reason why.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Because I think
you not put the cart before the horse.
Combine.
But I think back to
MILF convention.
It's been a little while since we've had those Super Bowl weeks where it's like intense and all the stuff going on and, the schedule, you got to go here and there. And, and it's a lot of, when you're doing it, it's a lot of work. You don't think about it. But now when you think back at it, you miss it.
You know what the first thing I thought of? I don't want to do media day with fans in attendance. I don't want people watching me work.
Yeah, that would be different.
That's going to be a little awkward.
We've never experienced. Media day is something I don't miss and I don't look forward to. That's just ridiculous. Yeah,
even more so with a crowd watching.
Yeah, that has gotten old.
Hey, Paul and Angie just stand around during media day like they do during the regular season.
I applaud the NFL. I applaud the NFL for trying to shake that up a little by bringing in fans, but I think they need to do more than that to shake up media day. It really has gotten the same thing over and over again. But again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
You started it.
Yeah,
I know. You started it on the TV taping this week where you were talking like in the future, looking past the Broncos.
I did?
Oh, yeah. That morning meeting, you were looking ahead quite a bit.
I was?
Yes. The tone of your presentation was looking ahead.
I thought you were looking ahead.
Was it a tonality thing?
It was a tonality thing.
I saw Paul on Felger and Maz yesterday.
Did he look thin?
Very thin. TV does, they say like TV puts on 10 pounds. For you, it takes off 30.
I don't think it's the camera.
You look good.
All right. What else?
Do you sit behind a desk on that show?
Well, it's a table. Yeah.
Does it cover
his belly?
Like
this. Like this.
It does.
Oh, so that's perfect for him.
Right.
Yeah, it's a two birds, one stone kind of there.
But do they have to wear a sweater vest? Is that the rule?
No.
Why do they do that?
It's just something that they're kind of goofing on each other.
Boys to men, ABC, Felger and Maz.
But it was a good segment. I only really saw the last half hour. I didn't see the first half hour.
That's good.
But
I ripped you. I had a lot of PFW in progress references yesterday for you.
But you I heard one too.
You just said you ripped me.
No, but he's talking about the show, and I heard Big Balls go, "We'll compare numbers someday." And I'm thinking, I don't think we want to.
I did hear you say that.
We were getting scoffed.
And I'm glad you said that, by the way,
I shouldn't say we were by them. Tony goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it."
Right.
Like as if to say, like you know. What is this PFW in progress thing? And I so bad wanted to say, you know.
You don't even have your own radio show. You're second fiddle on your own show. That's what I would have responded with. That, Paul, that's why they hate
me. No, but you did stick up for it, and I like what you said.
Right. So it doesn't matter that, you know, maybe I was stretching the truth a little bit, but I still would
wonder.
You
weren't stretching the
truth.
Well, I'd also
argue. What is that rating point?
We got real
numbers. What does
numbers.
That listen to?
We have
numbers.
Real numbers. None of your fluff.
What does that translate
Nielsen,
to? Okay, they're number one in the market. What does that translate to?
We don't pay people $5 to tell us if they're listening. We know if they're listening. And
how
they
many
pay
people
us to
listen
eat.
To per show? Do you think? I mean, I don't know. What are the numbers on that?
People in their car listen for 15 minutes. People listen to this for 2 hours.
Right. They go out of their way to listen to us. You, they might stumble upon you and stay for a couple minutes.
Right.
To hear you say, "Yeah, man. Yeah, right. Felger. Yeah, Felger. Exactly. I agree with you again, Felger."
Exactly.
He's so negative too, Tony.
But
so negative.
You don't really get into arguments with them.
Oh, I was making fun of Tony yesterday.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Tony at one point was talking about the way that the Denver could win. You know, like they were trying to drum up a way that Denver can win. And he's saying if they do this, this, and this, and then he goes, "But my fear is they won't be able to run the ball like that." And I'm like, he's just like unabashedly is rooting for the other team.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Did he pick him?
No, he doesn't think there's any chance.
He can't even go with his, "I'd rather be right." Then.
No, there's no chance. He thinks there's no chance that the Patriots lose the game.
That's why they hate him.
He's clearly wanting them to lose the game.
Yeah. he's playing both sides.
I don't think he's going to. If they lose, what they'll do is they'll immediately go to that. Now, this is 3 years in a row. You lose at home.
Belichick.
They're not going to say, we told you that Denver was going to win the game.
Yep.
Although Felger seems like he has this little. I don't think Felger's all in on the Patriots for this game. I think there's that little Tebow.
Yeah.
There's that Tebow thing with Felger that I think he thinks there's a chance. Tony doesn't think there's any chance.
Some news.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Some news yesterday, Jason Light. We learn was asked to interview for the head personnel position. Where?
GM Bears.
GM for Chicago.
For Chicago?
One of four candidates that they are going to interview.
Wasn't expecting that.
Well, his name has always been kind of out
there. Oh, sure. I mean,
didn't he leave us once already and come back?
He might have. Did he go to Philly?
I thought he went to Philly and came back.
Was it him or Matt Russell or somebody
else? You might be right.
Name is thrown around whenever there's rumors and guys that are kind of under the radar.
Yeah, he's always a guy. He's well respected, I think.
And then Paul and I always go, "Is it Licht?
Is
or
it Licht or Light?
No, it's L-I-C.
It's Light.
Yeah,
but it's L-I-C-H-T.
Yeah,
Licht.
And he was given
Andy
permission,
just asked
right?
if it's that.
He was given permission.
Oh, yeah, he's going to interview.
Yeah,
yeah. One of four guys. Be interesting.
Be very interesting.
Eric, with his first, I think, useful tweet ever. Said, so Bill Belichick can continue to fleece the Bears in trades.
Right.
True.
Now that Jerry Angelo is.
They've had a good experience trading with the Bears, going back to Ted Washington.
Maybe that's why Jerry Angelo's out of a job. One of many reasons.
Sure. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. You guys were in the locker room?
We will be later.
Oh, that's right. It's not open till 1:45.
Yes.
Okay.
And there'll be press conferences on patriots.com. Logan Mankins, and other people.
All right.
Who are the other people?
Deion Branch, I believe.
Maybe. There'll be three.
So you know what Deion Branch will be taught? Everybody will be asking him about what Bill said.
Right. Bill said, "You're great. Are you great?"
Yeah. I was kind of cringing for the next follow-up, like, okay, so explain Ocho Cinco. But nobody did ask that.
Well, I was thinking of the follow-up. If Deion's so good, why does he disappear for stretches?
Bill! Well... I mean, he gets covered, you know?
Because I think, like Falk, there's a little bit of past tense to it.
Yeah.
He's not, mentally, he still has it. Physically, he may not.
Right.
He can't get open.
Yep. All right.
Did you see, I referenced earlier, SportsCenter had another one of their stupid Tim Tebow hour-long specials. And I heard a woman from the Denver Post who's here. I don't know her name, Paul. Do you know her
name? I think it's Lindsay Jones, but I'm not positive on that.
She got a phone call either yesterday or this morning from People
wanting to talk to her about Tim Tebow and this whole thing. So People Magazine is apparently doing a story. I mean, he's now the most popular athlete in America, according to ESPN.
Well, you don't know when this will end. So you got to strike while the fire's hot.
About 11,
the iron's hot.
At 11:15 Saturday night.
Well, that kind of makes my point then. Then there's this rush to take advantage of it because it could be over.
And even I got to disagree with Bill. You know, Bill's comment was I'd focus on the win-loss record for Tim instead of the up and down statistics. It's not that good.
Yeah, that would be my contention.
I mean, your quarterback Tom Brady has 5,000 yards and he wins 13 or 14 games every year.
My contention is it is pretty good for someone who no one thought could do this in the NFL.
Well, they didn't think no one thought he could do it?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Really.
Except for his backers.
No one thought he could go 1-3.
Except he was drafted in the first round. No one thought he could do it, except he was a first round pick.
And then
that's ridiculous.
And then the guy that drafted him was run out of town.
Because of just that?
Because he cheated.
Because of that? Or because he had
He got run out of town because of the scandal.
Out of town because, as Mike Kliss said, he was Napoleon-like and everybody hated him.
You know what I'm saying.
He didn't get run out of town for picking Tim Tebow. Well, he got run out of town for the scandal.
Had nothing to, and the only part of Tebow that hurt him was don't want Tebow, go to Orton, whatever. He had his little John Gruden thing going on there. But to say no one thought he could do it is false. He was drafted in the first round.
The people that have always loved Tim Tebow thought he could do it. But you know that there's this huge faction of quote-unquote experts who never thought he could do it.
Me.
Right, and I think they're right.
And not just
I'm on
you.
Their side,
well,
and I think they're right. He hasn't done anything.
Oh, come on.
I think He's a cultural phenomenon.
Again, I think that horse has left the barn.
I think you're right. If you think that 12 games means the horse has left the barn, then I just would caution you to buy my Davio's dinner for me when he leaves football with a losing record.
What's our bet again?
He will leave football with a losing record.
Okay.
As a starting quarterback.
Like, he's made himself.
He's been 1-3 in the last four starts.
He's won football games at the quarterback position.
So he's Matt Cassel.
That's what I'm
saying. Who never even played in college.
The bar, you know how they always make fun of us for moving the bar? They lower the bar at every step.
It's the detractors that keep moving the bar.
Yeah, you keep making fun of us for moving the bar. You guys keep lowering it.
No.
Now all he had to do was win a game to prove that you were right.
No, all I ever said is he'd be successful in the NFL.
And he hasn't been.
Okay. Is he on track to be?
No.
No. Oh boy.
If he can't complete
the bar is pretty high.
If he can't complete 50% of his passes, he's not on track to be a successful quarterback.
He's revolutionizing the QB position. It doesn't require
we don't need to get off in another one of these.
He was in college.
We did this for years and years and years. We don't need to do it again.
Let's go to some emails. David, Pennsylvania.
You're an idiot.
Why am I an idiot?
Because that smirk and laugh tells me you don't really believe what
exactly.
You're arguing.
I believe it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I've been consistent.
No, you're never consistent on any topic.
Consistent.
So you consistently think that someone is 8-4 after 12 starts. That's it? Game's over? That's it?
I've consistently said this guy can do it in the NFL.
Out of curiosity.
And I stick by that.
I'm going to stick with a similar kind of guy.
I thought you were done with this, Paul.
I'm going to stick with a similar kind of guy.
Yes.
Unconventional quarterback who, quote-unquote, was going to revolutionize the position. What did Cordell Stewart start his career at? 13-3?
I have no idea what the...
13-3?
I have no idea what the opinion of...
I'm not asking you the opininion of him was.
I have no idea what the opinion of Cordell Stewart was coming into the league,
compare. That's not my question.
He wasn't a quarterback.
Whoa.
You do know.
He was at Colorado.
He wasn't coming into the league.
He was last. Because they
didn't think he could play quarterback, so you know exactly what they thought of him.
They didn't think he could play.
I did know what the opinion of... Tim Tebow was
higher than what it was of Cordell Stewart. So use that as
hell of a
background.
Higher. Cordell Stewart wasn't drafted in the first round as a quarterback.
He was slash, right?
Yes.
Because
they didn't think he could play quarterback. And guess what? He couldn't play quarterback.
Sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes they're right.
But if we close the book after 3 months, Cordell Stewart backers would have been correct.
Okay, so
13-3.
Well, what if we had closed the book at the end of December when Tim Tebow was on a three-game losing streak?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Can we let a little time go by?
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think there's anything to be all crowing about 8-4. I don't think that's that great.
Fair enough, but I do think he's on the right track, and I think he's already done more than some people think he would.
I don't understand how you can think what he's done on the field. Forget about the off-field stuff. On the field,
right,
is on the right track. I don't understand how you can say
you can say it isn't.
Below 50% passing and averaging 19 points a game is not on the right track.
He's doing it a different way than you would like.
I'm with Bill on this one.
His
win-loss record.
And it's not a good one.
And it's not impressive.
His win-loss record is not good.
Had they played
playoffs.
In any other division
he's
in football,
one and three.
He would have been home a month ago.
Eric's here.
He's got him in the divisional round.
So did Matt Hasselbeck, and you thought he sucked.
I didn't say he sucked.
Yes, last year you had no faith in Matt Hasselbeck.
For the Saints game?
When he backed into the postseason and then beat the Saints. You didn't say all he does is win.
see what?
Because Matt Hasselbeck didn't have a Bible in his right hand while he was throwing passes with his left.
But see,
if he put the Bible down, maybe he could pass.
And I want to maintain. I don't care about any of that other stuff. I'm just judging on the field.
Because people only like him because of that other stuff.
Andy,
you're telling me he's done things on the field that he has yet to do. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my thing, so that you guys understand where I'm coming from. If he was like just any other quarterback, I'd probably be with you guys. Well, why is anybody, you know? But I think it's the rabid, you know, group of people that didn't give him a chance that makes me more on his side. You know what I'm saying? It's like if he was Joe Flacco and there were his detractors and people who thought he could do it, it wouldn't make as much of a difference. But the people the people that really didn't think he could do it were like,
Freddie.
You know, just like, this guy is the worst thing to ever happen.
But why
since...
so him more than anyone else? Because those guys.
That was my question.
But that's
no,
fine. Freddie,
why
no.
him and more
no,
than...
no, no, no.
But you
there's
like the guy. That's fine.
But wait, there's five of those quarterbacks every year that enter the league that people say don't have a chance.
Oh, but not with the hatred to this guy.
It's true. It's true, Andy. The level of hatred for this guy is unwarranted.
And I think the level of adulation for the guy is unwarranted.
Right. Both are. I agree with that.
And I think.
And that's why it's so polarizing.
And most people hate him because of the adulation.
Absolutely.
But I think it fuels each other.
I think that's why it's so polarizing.
Right. Right. I think it
definitely because there's no in between. Yeah. There's no wishy-washy opinion of
right.
Tim Tebow.
Right. That's true.
No one cared about Spurgeon Wynn.
Right. Right.
And whether or not he could play.
Right.
This guy is polarizing.
Yeah.
But you like him.
Drafted
there's nothing
Brady.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making it sound like, well, I needed to take up the defense. Please, he doesn't need any defense. He's a first-round pick, but a Heisman Trophy winner who went to
Florida.
Who has
SportsCenter specials every 3 days.
And they have an hour-long SportsCenter on him. And you make it sound like he's under attack.
He's
under siege.
Let me know when they do the Brady hour-long SportsCenter. I don't know. The guy had the greatest season last year, the first unanimous MVP, and they didn't have a SportsCenter.
Let me know when they do an hour-long SportsCenter on Drew Brees, who just set the passing record.
Anybody who earned it.
That's my only contention. The guy is a cultural phenomenon. That's all.
That's why.
As a football player, not so much. As a cultural phenomenon, can't get enough of them.
Oh, that's why they're doing SportsCenter specials.
Yeah.
Well, Breeze isn't a cultural phenomenon.
I'm sorry. I thought it was SportsCenter.
Yeah.
I mean, E-News.
People Magazine.
Sociology.
I am not criticizing
sports.
It's ratings.
I'm not done. Well, I'm not criticizing People Magazine for wanting to talk about Tim Tebow.
Right.
They should be. That's in their wheelhouse. I would rather talk to Tim Tebow than Tom Brady if I'm People Magazine and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But if I'm ESPN, that's the last thing in the world.
ESPN,
I want to be accentuating.
Get the
focus off the field and that's the last thing in the world they should be wanting.
They think people will watch it. That's why
they will. They will.
Yeah.
The first word of the acronym ESPN is entertainment.
Whatever. It's a
that's
sports
stupid.
Network.
It's a sports entertainment. Network. That's the first.
If you want to turn
the
clock back 35 years and pretend that's their network, it's a sports network.
They're about entertaining too.
No, they're not. They're about sports.
Well, sports is part of entertainment.
Sports is entertainment.
But they're not trying.
And when sports
but the most entertaining players this year in sports.
You can't talk when he
we're
gets
Rodgers.
They're not trying to put on
Brees.
I mean, but let's not take the word entertainment literally.
Right.
Like they're trying to come up with sitcoms.
They're trying to put things on
Kenny
there.
Mayne.
They're trying to put things on there that are related to sports that people will watch.
No, the bottom line is ratings. You started with it,
right.
And end with it. It's ratings. People will watch. He's a polarizing figure right now.
Exactly.
Again,
but it's not.
I don't have any problem.
Sports.
I don't have any problem with the off-field
not.
Stuff. I don't have. I really don't. I just don't think he's that good. And for the people that are so adamant that he's proven people wrong, I don't know what they've watched. That's my only contention.
Well,
the off-field guy, you can like. I have no problem with the guys who think that Tim Tebow is special and he's doing all this good and he's a great role model. I have no problem with any of that. I personally, my role model is my father, not an athlete. But I have no problem with anybody who says, this is a guy who does everything right. Why shouldn't we look up to him? Fine, because there's too many dirt balls out there that we haven't been able to look up to. So if this guy is worth looking up to for you, fine. But on the field, at some point, he's going to have to produce more than he does, because you are not going to win doing what he does consistently.
Eric, he'll have to be credited for 2 wins for every 1 win.
No, he will have to start doing things that help you win. On a consistent basis.
On a consistent basis. For you to be on his side.
Like Tom Brady, his first year when he was just sort of handing the ball off and keeping the score. Do you think he could have done that for 12 years the way he has? Or do you think he had to get better?
He got better.
Do you think he would have had to get better to continue to win at that level?
Unless they had a team like Baltimore with a defense like they've had.
Okay.
He wants to fight you.
You know?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Baltimore's had that defense. They haven't been able to do it.
Because they haven't had a decent quarterback, really, either.
Yeah, okay. They haven't had a guy to complete 48% of his passes?
48?
Well, Brady was always better than that. He was always very
efficient. But my point is, do you think
pretty much every quarterback in the history of game was always better than that? Because you don't
get
the last
one. Do you think they would have won at the level they've won if Brady didn't get better?
Probably not, no.
Right. So that's all I'm saying. I don't think they'll continue to, in a short little
sample.
And
you don't believe that Tebow will get better.
In a short sample, I'm saying he hasn't done anything yet. I haven't been proven wrong yet, all I'm saying.
But I think that the people that
I didn't say what will happen.
Give him no benefit of, he might get better. It's like, this guy will never do it, and that's it, period. End of
story. Your opinion is that he'll get better. Right. Why is that okay?
You can't have opinions?
My opinion is that he won't.
Okay.
Only
your opinion is that he will.
Allowed?
Yeah, I don't understand why you don't.
But I have an agenda, right? And you don't. Well, see, I don't.
Why does he deserve a chance I wouldn't give someone else?
Why don't you give him a chance to improve before you say he will?
Do you think he has improved since last year?
I think he played very well Saturday night, Sunday night.
Well, my question is, do you think he's improved since last year?
I didn't see him play last year.
Sure. All right. And
but I'll say,
yeah. Do you think he's plateaued? He can't get any better?
Plateaued. I don't think he's going to get much better, but it's no different than I felt about Jamarcus Russell or Brody Croyle. I'm not treating him any differently than I've treated other players who can't throw the football. I'm consistent.
Right.
But for some reason, my consistency with those guys is okay.
It's hatred.
But
if you don't think he can play, you hate him.
But you do hate him.
I do.
But I don't.
You know why I hate him? Because of what Paul just said. You know, he's a great guy off the field. Maybe he is a role model. Who's a better role model than Drew Brees? Tell me what Drew Brees has done wrong that makes him a bad guy, any less of a man than Tim Tebow.
But you don't see the vitriol against Drew Brees.
But I also don't see the praise of Drew Brees.
Oh, sure you do.
No, I
don't.
Not like you do with this guy.
Not like Tebow, but
he's 100 times the quarterback that Tebow is, and maybe he's only 95% of the guy, and he's a forgotten soul.
Up to the point that Tebow got into the league, Drew Brees was one of the most enamored guys in the league.
But wait, are you comparing Tebow mania to Brees mania?
Absolutely
okay,
not.
Thank you. That's
absolutely
my point.
Not. But will you just listen? For
but
once?
You don't listen. One of us has to listen, right? It's me. You don't have to listen to the other people like Paul and
my
me.
My statement just before you jumped on me was up to the point that Tebow got into the league. Drew Brees was one of the most enamored guys in the league.
But that's irrelevant. It wasn't comparable to what Tebow mania is.
And I agree with that.
He's 10 times or 100 times the player that Tebow
but
is.
But you ask, how come nobody says this stuff about Drew Brees?
Because they don't. They don't.
Wow.
I've yet to see the Saturday Night Live skit about Drew Brees being God's gift to the planet or any of this.
Well, because...
But he's twice as good a player or more every bit as good
a
person.
Because there was nothing to make fun of Drew Brees about.
No, they're not making fun of Tim Tebow. They're making fun of the idea of Tim Tebow.
Oh,
he
wow.
became a cultural phenomenon, and that's what they're mocking.
They're also mocking him. There are a lot of people who don't like
him. Sure they are.
See, Live is mocking cultural stances on things. That's what they mock. Not specific. They weren't making fun of Tim Tebow, just like they weren't specifically making fun of Jesus. They were making fun of the issue at hand that people actually believe that Jesus and Tim Tebow are tied together. That's what they were mocking.
But there is a segment of the population that doesn't like him.
Right.
I'm not saying
there's
Saturday Night Live. I'm just saying.
Don't you think there's a larger segment of the population that likes him because of his Bible-toting ways?
Yes,
or whatever he totes?
That's the part I don't get. It's okay to like him because of it, but it's not okay to not like him because of it.
And mine is totally aside from that. Mine is, I think there are a ton of guys in the league that tote their Bible and are just as good a people and are better players, and yet they're nobodies. Right? Nobody's.
Just like it's okay to say that he'll improve. It's not okay to say, I don't think he will improve.
But I think you have to look at all the factors surrounding him. Those guys, I mean, this guy came out of college, as some people think, the best college football player ever.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Correct.
Yet there was...
But no one will give him a chance.
Right. There was a certain percentage of people that weren't willing to give him a chance.
Except he was drafted in the first round.
No,
because not only you have to be the best college football player, player, maybe of all time, and get drafted in the first round, everybody has to say right. you will then be a success in the NFL.
Okay. Do you?
If no one's allowed to have an opinion to say that I don't think he's going to be a good pro.
When he was drafted in the first round,
People laughed.
I laughed because I don't think you'll be a good pro. Oh. Why is that wrong? I don't understand that.
Wait, so now Tim Tebow?
I didn't think Jamarcus Russell would be a good pro either.
There's nothing wrong with that, but again, it fuels the other side.
But both fuel the other side.
It made the other side even more passionate. Every time he did something that one side said he couldn't do,
Fred,
they got more passionate.
But Fred, why did he deserve to be unanimously thought of as worthy of a first round pick?
Yes.
He was picked in the first round.
Why?
So he was a first round pick.
Why is it okay to question whether or not everybody else will succeed in the post, but not this
guy. I disagree with that premise because I don't think he was a unanimous.
No, we're saying why did he deserve to be?
Shh.
I know the shouting.
Jesus.
Relax.
Why? I don't understand
Tebow.
That. Answer that question that Andy just asked.
There's no answer for these types of people.
Why was this the chosen guy that had to be universally 100% accepted? Why is it not okay that some people like me and Andy didn't think he would be a good pro?
Because the people that were against him were passionately against him.
So what?
That happens every year, though.
I was passionately against
Dez Bryant.
Russell.
He loves Dez Bryant. Every draft pick, there's
we
passion.
Still argue about Dez Bryant.
The passion against him to the other side seems like they want him to fail. It's not like they think he'll
fail.
Wait a minute. And that's their opinion.
But
they
Fred,
want him to fail.
But don't you ever analyze a guy and then say, okay, I think this guy is A. And then you want that to happen because that was your...
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong.
You know I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always pick
right. Why would you analyze draft picks? Why did Eric, Andy, and I look at these college tapes of these kids and write down our thoughts and opinions if we don't want to end up being right?
I hope Quinn sucks.
Yeah, I mean...
No, I thought he was going to be good. I want him to be good, so I was right.
Eric
was bragging on Saturday night after, I mean, the Broncos won. He wanted to be right.
Well, he was right to do that.
But you know the difference I'm talking about. It's, you know, to the side that were the big Tebow supporters, it got personal because it seemed to them that these people, it's not like they want their opinion to be right. They want this guy to fail.
I want my opinion to be right.
But
just like with Jamarcus Russell, I rooted against him because I said, I can't believe anybody would entertain the notion of making this guy the number one overall pick. I didn't see it. So I didn't want him to then go out and make me look like I've never seen football before and become a great quarterback. So yeah, I was rooting against Jamarcus Russell.
And I think part of it
is... I don't know what's wrong with that.
The personal of the scouts that I have deemed that this is what you need to do to be an NFL quarterback. So if he proves me wrong, he's tearing up all the work I've done. So there's a personal aspect there too of not wanting to be proven a fool or proven that you were an idiot to think such things are such necessities to be successful at the position.
Then maybe there's more vitriol for this guy because the supporters have come out just like you just said and been like, but it got so personal. Why are they rooting against him when all the other guys that people have rooted against over the years at various positions and various drafts, why I don't remember this big backlash of Jamarcus Russell supporters saying, why do so many of these guys think he's going to fail? And let's face it, there were a lot of guys. We weren't alone. None of us thought he was going to be good, and we weren't alone.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, a lot of people didn't think Jamarcus Russell.
That did think he was going to be good didn't take it as a personal affront.
No, they didn't.
Like the Tebow backers do.
Absolutely not. But I also don't think the criticism of Jamarcus Russell was simply based on his football playing ability. The criticism of Tim Tebow was both. It was, you know,
It just keeps changing.
This is all about.
All we can
Other
talk
than
about,
me, who's criticized you the person?
All we can talk about is what he does on the field.
I know, but you can't talk about Tim Tebow and the criticism and the popularity without talking about the whole package. It all is
so
together.
You're saying that the reason I am so strongly...
Maybe not you.
Well, I'm saying people like me are so strongly convinced that he can't play quarterback is because of his off-field stuff, too?
Not you, but some people, yeah. They didn't like
crazy.
Him. They wanted him to fail.
I think people don't like him because of that, but I don't think it has anything to do with football.
Well, it's all part of wanting to see him fail.
I think the fuel of this argument, and you're right, one end fuels the other, is ignorance. I think you have a lot of people involved who don't really know much about Tim Tebow, who are just in part – it's become such a grand issue that people who maybe didn't watch him in college, maybe have seen very little of him – they're just arguing the issue more than the actual have knowledge of how he plays, why he won, where he won, what he does.
Don't you think? I mean, there's enough people involved now.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the fringes. These aren't experts anymore. These aren't, like, we watch every prospect. These are fringe people. Oh, yeah, Tim Tebow, he's great. You see what he did last week, that 80-yarder?
That's why it's become a cultural phenomenon.
Right. It's right. Beyond, yeah,
and,
right. Beyond
and
the
it's
sport.
Definitely that's why it's on cultural. E-News. That's why it's on E-News.
I have, see, that's where I separated. I don't have a problem with the cultural phenomenon. The guy is everywhere, and everybody's talking about it. So, look, these things happen. They happen in our society. That has nothing to do with, like, I don't know if you guys saw this, probably not. Albert Breer, I think, is in Houston, for NFL Network, and he sent out a text.
People talk about him.
He was in a hotel.
Mostly him.
Yeah.
He was in a hotel,
much like Tim Tebow.
elevator, and, a guy dropped something. There was two guys and Bert. And a guy dropped something, and he reached down to get it, and he did the Tebow. Oh. And he goes, Tebowing, like that. And they branched off into an argument about whether or not
on the elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Houston.
In Houston. And whether or not they started an argument about whether or not it was Tebow's greatness or Pittsburgh was just too banged up.
Right. I saw Andy, you cracked me up on Twitter today because Rappaport was talking to Breer, and he said, does anyone hate
is anyone more hated than the Patriots?
The Patriots, and you're like, you!
But the best part was, I was about 5 seats away, I sent it, and then I just turned and watched. And literally, I was like, one count, two count, and he's just starts shaking his head with a smirk.
Can you take a restraining order out on Twitter? Because he's going to.
Yeah. He's
going
to have to.
Yeah. All right, let's
get... It is a fascinating topic. I just don't understand why people can't separate, that's all.
Because you can't separate it.
I can. You can't. Why can I?
Because...
I don't care what he does off the field.
Well,
I only care what he does on it.
People do. They care. David, Pennsylvania, first, you guys have been making me laugh my ass off lately with your show. And Andy, are you as negative with everything in your life or just everything Patriots related?
Pretty much everything.
He has some game day element suggestions, which will...
Any of them good?
No, just... He thinks they should use Otis Day Shout or Rock and Roll Part 2, Gary Glitter. So
that's what they used to use here back in the day.
Right.
Till he started.
But he also says the defense does not make me nervous, and it all comes down to the offense. The
what?
Team Why lost. Not? Well,
as Ian Rappaport says, wait, what?
The team lost to the Jets last year and Ravens 2 years ago, and of course we all know the Super Bowl because of the offense. It seems it's because of Brady and the O-line. What I notice is teams usually play the Patriots offense soft during the regular season, but then in the playoffs they bring heat, and neither Brady or the O-line can read it. I went back and listened to the post-Super Bowl PFW, and Paul had a great stat, and that was in Brady's last 6 playoff games. He only had a QB rating over 100 twice. As of now, that is 2 out of the last 8 playoff games. Do you see a trend? During the regular season, Brady gets sacked 1.5 times a game, and in the recent playoffs, it's 4.2 or something a game. That's where the Patriots have lost their last 3 playoff games. I never want to hear anyone blame the D for the Super Bowl 42 loss, but that's why I'm a little nervous, because I could see Brady and the O-line fold like a tent again and not score like they should. Over the last few years, I've seen every team in the playoffs be able to move the ball and score, and then watch the Patriots struggle to death to get first downs. I can't believe
I'll stay quiet then.
I can't believe I still have that dreaded Super Bowl 42 on tape. So what I'm going to do to help reverse the curse, and that's Friday night, I will have that game with me wherever I am. And when the clock strikes midnight, I will be it will be the first seconds of game day. I'm going to destroy it, destroy the hell out of it.
How so, exactly? Burn it?
I don't know. Probably stamp on it or something. Maybe. I don't know.
I just want to watch a man jumping up and down on a little VHS tape.
Depends on where he is.
Pressure is the operative word for this week, by the way. Pass protection, pressure for Denver. That seems to be the only thing anybody's even remotely concerned about is if that's the only way you can stop Brady is by getting pressure. And
I can't get on board with I'm not worried about the defense.
Oh, God, I can't. No
I mean, all those other defenses were competitive. This defense has been borderline competitive. That's how bad it is to me. So I have to worry about it a little. But did you see the note from ESPN, what's his name, Jeremy Lundbad or whatever? That Brady can become, he's going to make history. He either becomes the joins Montana with 15 playoff victories or becomes just the 5th quarterback with 4 consecutive postseason losses and the first to do that without playing a road game. You know, obviously, the Super Bowl
Super
was
a
neutral
site.
So, history one way or the other, not necessarily, good or bad. I'm a big believer, though. Like,
what was that?
What?
I
No, but he hit puberty.
So he's not perfect. He started his career 10-0 in the postseason.
Right.
That's not going to continue. Ever. Right? That's just...
I agree.
The laws of average say that that can't continue.
Unless he is just going to go down as unquestionably the greatest athlete that ever walked the planet.
Right.
But, you know, sooner... And he's now 4-5, right, in the last nine?
Correct.
So he's about 500 with a terrible defense for portions of that. So I just... I don't think it's quite the falling off the cliff, what happened to Brady, let's make a movie of this, he fell apart story that people would like to make it out to be.
Justin in Connecticut says, second season listener and first time emailer, just subscribe to the Patriots Daily app. It's amazing. All three or four of you do a great job covering the Patriots. The only time I listen to the garbage stations is Monday and Friday.
Wait, I'm going to need an explanation on that. What does that mean?
All three or four.
Who's a limit? I know Paul and I are in it. So
when
it's
Eric's
Fred
not
or
here,
Eric,
it's three, and when Eric is here, it's four.
Does
What's
he
so
not
hard?
Count the edit letter, which takes you somewhere in the range of 4 hours to write, or is he not counting Eric because he's not often here? Can he email in?
I can't speak for Justin. Anyway, I'm currently watching 2003 and 04 Super Bowls from NFL Films and notice how intense the passion was on this team during that run. Doesn't seem like that heart and excitement is still present among the team from the coaching staff down. I realize nearly all of the players are not the same, but even Tom Brady was hugging and falling to the ground with Dion during the 03 Super Bowl. Didn't see that in 07 with anyone. I feel like every
didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I feel like every season after 04 has been like the documentary where Coach Belichick refers to the team's lack of celebration after defensive stops just in all three phases of the game. What do you guys think? Keep up the great work. You do great work. Keeping all of Patriots Nation informed and entertained. And P.S. Eric can be extremely pompous. Andy is very entertaining. Paul is the level-headed one of the group. And Fred, you're definitely the homer, although nothing but greatness comes from your denial and Kirschwords' perfection.
Well, the last few years aside, I'll say this about this team this week and today in particular. Bill was as spry and upbeat at a press conference at the end of the week as
Fred
I've seen him.
Fred prefers chipper.
Yeah.
I went with almost giddy.
Right. And that atmosphere sort of translated to the practice field today. Mm-hmm. The entire team looked like it was in that sort of that same vein, that same
speaking of which, was Kyle Love out there?
Yes, perfect attendance today.
Did you say that already?
No, that's why I was getting to it before you rudely interrupted.
Okay.
I did not interrupt you.
I left you the cheap shot there, but you didn't take it. He said, you know, it reminds me of when Bill had to remind the 2009 team, you know, after defensive stops to celebrate. I thought for sure that was the perfect cheap shot for you. Well,
I'll say something that might be dumb.
That's mean.
Or might sound dumb. But do you think that his attitude today, his comportment today, has anything to do with the style of defense you need to play against this type of Tebow option offense? Like, you know, you have to be up on your toes and, you know, excited and, you know.
I think it's a reflection of how he feels his team is going to perform on Saturday night.
And I just think excited to play Saturday night.
Yeah.
Excited to prove something.
Yep.
Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's go. But the other part, I think we'd be criticizing Tom Brady if he were in the divisional round of the playoffs, even if they won, if he were rolling around on the ground hugging people. I think, wait a minute, don't we have a couple more games we need to win? I mean, everybody was criticizing the Broncos last week. That was their Super Bowl. You only roll around on the ground and do those kinds of things when the season ended and you walked away the champion.
I think for the most part, yes. But
wasn't
I think
the
to
rolling
win
around in the Super Bowl? When he grabbed Branch, wasn't that against Carolina?
Yeah. And the guy wants to know why he hasn't seen it since.
Yeah.
But I do think if you win a playoff game like the Broncos did last week on a play like that, I have no problem with no problem with rolling around after an overtime touchdown. I have no problem with celebrating
but it's a little different for them.
As long as they haven't won.
As long as you know the overtime rules and are sure that you
won
the game.
No, but what I'm saying is if you just hold on, you know, if you just win in a conventional manner in a regular playoff game and you act like that, I would say, well, that's a little bit much for a divisional round playoff, but to win like that, sudden death.
But don't you think also part of it is they're a team that didn't necessarily expect to be there,
mm-hmm.
may not expect to be there again. You know, it's kind of...
See, there you go hating again.
But there's a different air when you're the Patriots and you're 14-2 every year, 13-3.
You come to expect it.
The expectation isn't to win the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
The expectation is to win the final game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe from Tucson says, I'm hearing what you guys are saying about us blowing the Broncos out. I hope we do. Hell, I hope we destroy everyone from here on out, but this game worries me. I know we have one of the best defenses in the NFL history, but if Tim Tebow comes out firing, we'll be in trouble. I personally think Tebow can shred this unstoppable secondary if he gets the chance. What do you guys think? I think there's a little sarcasm.
You think that was a sarcasm alert, Andy?
Maybe a little bit.
Was it double sarcasm?
Maybe just a little bit.
There's a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess we don't need to answer that. Ian in Scotland says...
I think the guy was making fun of you, Fred.
Oh. Ian in Scotland says, I'm looking forward to watching the Patriots stomp the Broncos out of the playoffs this weekend. Do you think there's any chance Brandon Lloyd follows McDaniels to join the team
yes.
in the offseason? I don't see the Ocho experiment continuing after the season with the lack of production.
Yeah, I do see it.
You do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He said he would. I take him as, at his word.
It takes two to tango. But
I think
to,
the, I think the Patriots
wait,
would
we
be
tried
interested.
To trade for him.
We already know we're interested.
Oh, that's true. We did.
Yeah. Didn't take long to convince Fred at that point.
I forgot about that.
The question will be, just how bad does Brandon Lloyd want to follow Josh McDaniels?
Well, and the question will be, does Bill Belichick even try to take advantage of that?
All right.
$395,000. If you want to come with McDaniels, you said you'd follow him anywhere. Here it is.
We got a lot of emails to get to, and the picks. We're going to do the picks at 1 o'clock today because we want to make sure we get Eric's pick in. He has to go
root for the Broncos.
Yeah. So we're going to do the picks in about 15 minutes at 1 o'clock. We'll take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
isn't it? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I
Love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Stripper sends us a tweet from Darren Ravel, who quotes Robert Kraft, who was on CNBC this morning. He said, this is what Robert said: it's not often that the opposing quarterback gets more publicity locally and nationally than our quarterback. He's right. That's a rare thing.
It's rare that any quarterback gets the attention that this quarterback's getting.
It's true. Brian says he agrees with Eric. Tebow's popularity isn't about his skill. It's about his faith and his resolve at showing his faith at every possible moment. So you have believers versus non-believers as a side story, and then individual team fans versus other team fans as well. Tebow needs to do a lot more in order to be considered a successful quarterback. Remember, Sanchez got the Jets to the AFC title game twice. In that regard, is Sanchez quality too?
That's a great email all around. I agree with the Eric part of it, and I agree with the football part of it.
Jerry says, you guys complain about the over-the-top coverage of Tim, then you spend 45 minutes doing nothing but talking about him. Please talk about football, he says.
Isn't he the quarterback of the other team?
Yeah. I'm trying to. I'm trying to tell you why I don't think they can win, because he can't play. That's football. Not because I don't believe he has strong faith. I don't believe he can throw the ball well enough to beat the Patriots.
It's pretty simple.
It is simple. There's no debating about his ability to play. He can't. That's why this discussion branches out into religion and all that.
But again, statements like that infuriate the other side.
They do. Yeah, that's... Well, at whatever point he shows he has the ability to play, maybe I'll have to change my tune.
Well, okay.
It's just like when you start off the whole thing by saying that that window was closed infuriates the negative side.
Right, right. Because I already think, in my mind, that he's done more than people thought he would do. That the detractors.
So now you're telling people what they thought. Another infuriating comment.
Don't talk with your mouth, football.
Another infuriating comment.
Joe and Indy.
Including, by the way, Josh McDaniels. Because if he's now done more than Josh McDaniels thought he could ever do, that's the worst draft pick in NFL history.
He was a believer.
Oh, okay. So nobody gave him a chance.
He was a believer.
Drafted in the first round.
Joe and Indy says, without getting ahead of ourselves, if the Patriots do make it to Indianapolis, we have a home base for the Patriots fans set up. The Stadium Tavern across from Lucas Oil is being rented for the week by a big bidder. But Indy Pats fans, now officially at Patriots.com, owns a restaurant downtown called Bearcats. The website is bearcatsindy.net.
So that bar,
which is the one that they sent the photo of.
I think that's the one he's talking about, is rented out by a big bidder.
Yeah, a big bidder came in and rented that out.
What does that mean? Like,
some, you know how the Super Bowl works. Sometimes companies like corporate will come in and rent out a place so that they can have a home base. So apparently what happened.
So it wasn't us.
I don't know who did it. It just said a big bidder. It didn't mention who it was.
Maybe it was strippers.
Could be. But BearcatsIndy.net will be the Patriots' home base, if they make it, of course. I don't want to jinx anything, but if we win the AFC Championship, I'll be in touch with Barry Insiong to get things rolling. We're beginning to get very excited about the prospects of winning a world championship under all of those Colts banners and making Lucas Oil our house. That would be kind of cool. But Polian's not there anymore, so it's not as...
You don't hate as much.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as sweet to do it, you know?
Well, it would be kind of like exercising the ghost, you know? You got the GM and his nepotism sons out of there.
Right.
Now you win a Super Bowl in their house.
Right. Yeah.
The team goes almost winless. They get the first pick in the draft.
Nick in Maine says, I just wanted to write in and let you know that as the years have gone by, I have tamed my fanatic emotions during the Patriots games and become a more civil fan. But for this coming Broncos game, I am going to lose it. I'm bringing the old, arrogant, obnoxious, and overzealous me back. This change comes from the extremely annoying media who are shoving Tebow down our throats. If you turn on NFL Network or PFW in Progress, you wouldn't even know there are other playoff games going on. It's ridiculous. Sterling Sharp is obsessed with Tebow, giving the Broncos a 65% chance to win. I rely on the awesome staff at PFW to spit the truth with a bit of homerism provided by Fred. Okay, now that I feel a little bit better, I actually do have a question to ask. Rumors around the league and throughout the media are stating that the champ Bailey will be manning up on Hernandez almost the entire game. My question is, even with the immense experience advantage that Bailey has, don't you feel that if Brady throws the ball well, that Hernandez will go up and down the field all over Bailey? I think his size and athleticism would prove to be too much for an aging champ Bailey.
I don't know that to be the case. I think Champ Bailey's still pretty good.
Yeah, I think he would do a pretty good job on that. But
it'll be body position.
But so now you know where Champ Bailey is.
Right.
You know?
You know that, and you also have nobody of his caliber guarding Wes Welker or Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
As Hernandez
said, Deion Branch.
Pick your poison.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, don't think Hernandez will totally wipe the field with Champ Bailey. No, I do not. Champ Bailey's a pretty good athlete.
Nor do I think he'll have 129 yards like he did in December.
Well, if they don't put if they use Bailey elsewhere and he's lined up against some of their lessers,
yes. No. I mean,
I think there's a chance.
I mean, if Bailey is on him,
because Brady won't throw to him that much. Not going to be, you know, that's the same as beating your head against. They're taking their best cover guy and putting him on one of your guys, but you have other guys. So Brady'll that won't be his first read. So it'll take away the likelihood of him marching up and down the field with Hernandez.
Matt in Quincy says, Paul, I'm so glad you came back at Maz yesterday. Tony came off as a condescending, you know what?
What? No,
prick. By the way,
could have gone rhymes with
rhymes
Rick,
with stick, or
something.
By the way, I find Tony's negative persona to be just an act to keep up with Felger. He's usually just dead weight on that show anyway. Way to go back at him, Paul. I like Tony. He's funny.
I like Tony too.
I think Tony's much more on that show than you're giving him credit for, and Andy too. Andy doesn't like him.
I love Tony.
I know you like him personally. I mean, on the show.
I think the hatred is for Tony.
He's much He's much more on that show than I think you give him credit for, is all I'm saying. I know you like Tony personally.
I think he's reached his potential, Paul.
Jumbo
I don't
News.
I think he can get any better.
There's a ceiling on hatred.
Did you see that former Jumbo and Patriots assistant, Andy Dickerson, was let go by Tony Sparano?
Only after you retweeted it.
His first move of the New York Jets. Big Dick gone.
That's too bad.
He's big. His name's Dickerson.
Good guy.
No, I get it.
Nothing about his genitalia. Relax, Eric. Don't get excited.
Oh. No.
I saw you perk up over there.
You're the one who called him Big Dick.
That's true.
That's your nickname for him.
True.
Not my nickname.
You're
once
obsessed.
Again,
it's his
once
nickname.
Again,
closet boy.
Fred.
Yep.
What? Yep. Now I can't call people by their nickname?
You doth protest too much.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Not really.
It's on your mind too much.
If you want to call me gay, Eric, I'm fine with that.
I don't do that.
Fred and
I'm not juvenile.
Aaron.
No, you're not. You're the opposite end of that.
That's right.
Pompous a-hole.
No, juvenile, that's not the opposite
adult
end.
Adult would be the opposite end
exactly.
of that.
Exactly.
No, because adults can be...
No.
you can't funny even... and kind people.
No.
Juvenile is endearing.
He's still going. He's still going.
Pompous a-holes.
When someone else
a-holes
is talking, you need
right
to shut
a-hole
up.
He just can't let it go. Gene in Daytona says, Fred, I heard EEI on Patriots Monday ask Ian Rappaport about the Patriots, and he sucked. Why can't you get your guys on Patriots Monday? Maybe next time Mr. Kraft could write our guys into the next EEI contract. Please do something about this.
No thanks.
Now, we'll let that show do what it does.
I've moved on.
Plus, if he writes us into the contract, we'll be doing it and not getting paid for it.
Brian writes in.
And have to be here on Mondays.
Brian writes in. I think
no, just phone it in.
Yeah, phoner. Phoner.
I think Brady could have stayed the same when he came into the league with a Ravens defense because the Ravens have won a championship with a not-so-average QB in Trent Dilfer.
No, but the point is, would Brady have gotten a decade or he would have been passed along? They would have tried to keep getting better at quarterback.
You missed that one. What I'm saying is, could they have won for 10, 12 years the way Brady has?
Nope.
If Brady didn't keep getting better, Baltimore couldn't. They won the Super Bowl in 2000. They haven't been back since.
Eleanor, it's kind of the thing Joe Flacco was talking about yesterday when he said
he won't get the credit if they win.
But he also went on to say, you guys want to talk about elite quarterbacks, but we run the ball here. And even if we run the ball, if we start throwing the ball and have success, if we go 8-1, you'll say in the one, you should have run the ball more.
Ray Rice didn't get the ball enough.
He kept saying that Breeze and Rodgers and Brady are passing offenses. Now, I don't think Joe Flacco is capable of being a passing offense.
And he's not an elite quarterback, but I do think that
you don't let me throw it 45 times a game.
You brought up a really good point
about
that.
What was that all about?
Soft between the ears and the...
I said they're not winning it.
He's Mark Sanchez Jr.
You brought
or
up
senior,
a,
whatever.
A good point, though, because they put out the portion of the quote that was sort of incendiary without all the rest of it,
right,
which totally made sense.
Right.
Now, I don't think Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback. And that's the problem for Baltimore is he's not an elite quarterback. He can't be that guy right now. If they get caught in a game like that, you don't know if you're going to get that out of him.
I'm not sure.
And
Tom
you're probably not.
Would be an elite numbers quarterback if he had Ray Rice. A guy rushing for 1,800
but
yards.
What he said to me made sense. But all they focused on was, okay, I won't get the credit.
I think he's soft. It proves he's listening way too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's hearing way too much. Ignoring the noise, he ain't.
Eleanor says, any thoughts about the chaos in Atlanta? If it eventually claims Dimitroff...
we'll take him back.
No, if it eventually claims Dimitroff... Would he be welcome back in New England, perhaps before the AFC Championship game?
That's good.
Yeah, but he's not getting.
Kevin might want to book the appropriate Atlanta sports writer now.
Oh, D. Led.
And Eric's still a bigger bitch
his
than
little
me.
Little bow tie.
You have a problem with Eleanor?
She's the one that the screw you bitch comment comes from.
Oh, okay.
I think Eleanor, that would be a very welcoming.
She's sign probably bigger than I am.
Got screw it. You, bitch.
Wow, are you calling her fat?
You are a mean person.
Well, she's probably bigger than you because you're a tiny, tiny little man.
That's my point.
Petite even.
That's my point.
That wasn't your point.
You shop in the boys section. Point.
That wasn't your point.
Ken says,
don't fool me.
You shop in the boys section?
No.
Ken
no,
says,
I didn't mean for clothes. I meant for getting.
See now. Ken says,
once
Fred,
again,
relax.
You know why you would.
Relax, Fred. Sounds like you're arguing that Tim Tebow was a real quarterback the same way you would argue that Luke Skywalker is a real person. Patriots won 31-6.
Here's what Fred says. You mean he's not a real person?
There's our 31-6 score. Yeah.
I see what he did there. Yeah.
He is a real person?
Yes.
Luke?
38-13.
I am your father. All right. Let's do the picks, Paul. It's 104.
Okay.
We missed the top of the hour.
And before we get into the four games for this weekend, Paul, why don't you
I will recap. Last week, picking winners, just no spreads. Fred, 3-1. Paul, 3-1. Andy, 2-2. Eric, 2-2.
Andy screwed up. Should have stuck with the Wilson Hart Power Index.
With the spread, Fred, 3-1. Paul, Andy, 2-2. Eric, 1-3. Despite having the one win be the game that no one else had.
Wow, you were
you managed to come in last place.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so combined records: Fred 6-2, Paul 5-3, Andy 4-4, Eric 3-5.
Playoff time.
You should include Pete Shepard's in there too. He went over.
Oh, did he?
There were like threads about.
Oh, by the way, Kevin, I meant to ask you. I got a lot of emails that there was a drunk caller on. Do we have any tape of that? Because somebody said if you play it, you guys will crack up.
Maybe, see if I can grab it off.
Maybe
the
just a little bit. I know it was a long call or something.
Yeah, drunk, Pete gave so him, we left him on a while.
Yeah, but if maybe we can get a taste of it, because I'd love to
get
hear
a taste
that.
Of his breath.
All right, so I don't
so
have
good
anything.
Job by Freddie. Freddie, you were actually 6-0. You would hit the first three games, winner and spread, before the big upset.
It's playoff time.
Before the big upset.
Playoff time.
Now, are we going to have to go back to Saturday night this week? Like,
yes. Yes.
Okay. Of course.
So, Paul, why don't you do the – I don't have anything in front
I'm
of
I'm sorry.
Me.
New the Orleans, the first game. The first game to me is the most intriguing game, I think. New Orleans at San Francisco, real contrast of styles. The Niners at home getting 3.5.
Yeah, I believe it's a quarterback's league. That'll certainly sway a lot of my picks in these four games. And as such, I just have trouble picking Alex Smith. And I know that's not what they play. They're not going to ask him to win the game. But I don't think he'll be able to win the game, just be good enough to win the game with that defense. And I think Drew Brees and the Saints are a lot like the Patriots right now. That defense might stifle them for 47 minutes. But in the 13 minutes, they might put up 3 touchdowns, and that's probably enough to beat them. So
yeah.
They won't get to their big numbers, but they'll get enough points to win that game. So I think the Saints win on the road.
Saw an interesting stat today from our friend Russell Baxter, the Bax football guru, who's
like
on
him.
The playbook.
He's a good tweeterer.
10 of the last 11 Super Bowls have featured at least one team with a top-10 defense, which bodes well for the likes of...
I was going to say, this is defense's last stand
San
right
Francisco
here.
And Baltimore would stand to do well in that category.
Houston.
And Houston, yep. I don't think
New England?
No. They're 14 points short of that, though.
That's true.
I kind of agree with Andy's line of thinking on Breeze and the Saints and the way they're playing. I think they do go into their former NFC West rivals home and get the job done. Saints win. And
Saints
cover.
Win.
Yeah, this is the one that's given me the most problems all week. I keep going back and forth. I can really see. I can see San Francisco winning this game.
I can too.
I can absolutely see it. I can. That offense is different outside. Not only it'll be outside, but it's in a place that can be difficult to play in in January. Probably will be a slow track. Maybe some wind or something. I know
the grass over there.
The weather is supposed to be really good, and for that reason, I'm going to go with New Orleans. But I don't have a lot of faith in this one. I'm going to take New Orleans, and I'll lay the 3.5. But I can absolutely see the scenario of San Francisco winning this game.
Yeah.
How long was it before San Francisco allowed a rushing touchdown this year?
The last game of the year.
Last game of the year. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but.
This is a passing team.
It's such a diverse offense with New Orleans. I just can't see. I can see San Francisco keeping them down from their normal pace, but not enough for Alex Smith to be in it. So
they better not turn the ball over, though.
Oh,
New
yeah.
Orleans better not give them any points, because
that's true.
I think Andy and Fred are right. I think the points will be down for New Orleans.
I'm gonna be rooting like hell for San Francisco, but I gotta pick New Orleans in
Me
this
too.
Game.
Wilson Hart Power Index, yep. baby.
All right, next.
Next!
All right, moving to Sunday at 1, Andy.
Wasn't there a Saturday night game?
We skipped over that. Fred already alluded to that.
Okay.
Houston is at Baltimore, where the Ravens are favored by 7.5.
So, yet again, I'm going to go against the Wilson Hart Power Index here. I am going to take the home team, the Baltimore Ravens. They're rested, and despite the comments of their quarterback, I think they're ready. And, this isn't so much a pick for the quarterback as Ray Rice. I think he may be the best player in football, or certainly one of them right now. I expect him to have a big game against Houston. And, again, I can't really pick T.J. Yates to win a game, to make the plays I think he'll need to make to win a game. It's like Alex Smith. He may not lose them the game, but I don't think he can win it. So I will take Baltimore.
I don't understand why you hate T.J. Yates so much. And how, I mean,
I don't.
I really just don't understand it. But
I just think people should give him a chance. he's chewing his cud open over there.
It's very similar, right? Probably similar numbers, similar winning percentage.
Except for the resume.
There's something...
National titles.
I don't know what it is, but there's something about this Houston team that has shown the ability to fight through all this adversity that they've had this year.
Yes.
And I think it continues for at least one more week. I think they go to Baltimore, pull off the upset, and I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't, because... You know, TJ, they're down to their third quarterback. They've had, you know, players come in and out of the lineup with injuries. They've been snake bitten, but they're still here.
They're the best team.
I think they are. I think Kubiak has done a great job with that team this year, and I think it continues for at least one more week.
Number three ranked in the Wilson Hart Power.
Upset.
I don't feel as strongly about Houston's chances as I do about San Francisco's, but I do also see a scenario that Baltimore, you know, sort of lays an egg here and doesn't play up to its potential. The difference here is I think if Baltimore does play to its potential, this game won't be close. I think they'll blow them out. And I will take Baltimore to do that. They did that with Schaub playing quarterback. I think they're going to do it with T.J. Yates playing quarterback. I think that Baltimore is a much, much better team.
Baltimore undefeated at home this year?
Yes.
Has Houston,
also undefeated against playoff teams.
Have Houston ever played at Gillette Stadium?
Yes.
They have?
Yep.
I forget that game.
Yeah, they got blown out.
I'm going to go with Houston to win this game.
It was 2002, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah.
No, we played in 07, I think. I think it was part of the...
No, we didn't play them in
06, maybe? No. 06, well, 07, 08, something like that. In that area, it might have been 08. But in that general area, 06, I think it might have been 06.
I don't remember that.
I'm
going to go 06.
I thought it was earlier.
Anyway. No,
pretty sure they played at Houston in 02.
Well, I know we've played in Houston, yeah.
We played in 03. Yeah. I know we played in 03 in Houston because we went back to the same stadium, and that was the previous time we had trailed was in that stadium to Houston.
So wouldn't it have been 07 here? 4 years later?
06. It would have been 3 years. It would have been 3 years later, 06. Because there's only three divisions that you rotate through in the AFC. The NFC, it's every 4 years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right, Paul.
So 06?
It was 06,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Houston will win this game. I think that the Baltimore offense is going to lay an egg. And that's why.
Joe Flacco be hearing it.
So was there a point thing I have to worry about in this one?
Yeah, you're getting the points.
Okay, good.
They beat Houston.
They beat Houston 40-7 at home December 17th of 06.
40-7.
You have trouble with Houston games.
That was before the current regime.
Like the Wes Welker game, you didn't remember exactly how it played out?
You mean like he thought they won when they didn't?
They essentially won the game.
Essentially.
They essentially got dominated. But anyway, the Giants at Green Bay is the late game on Sunday. Should be another great matchup. These are, you know, three interesting games, I think.
I think they are, yeah.
Packers by 7.5.
I'm going to take the Packers to win and cover. I think the athleticism of Aaron Rodgers is the key against that powerful and playmaking Giants front. Last week I picked the Giants because they had a good quarterback and a good defensive front. That's not enough this week because the good quarterback on the other side is better. And even if it gets into a shootout, I know the Packers defense stinks. I'll take Aaron Rodgers in a shootout. So I think the Packers win and cover. I think they get it done by 10.
Shades of 07 here, the 07 playoffs in the NFC Championship game. Same sort of situation. I did say that Green Bay wasn't going to get to the Super Bowl several weeks ago, and this is where it ends for them. They're not going to repeat. The Giants will go into Green Bay, pull off the upset.
Wow.
The front four is going to get to Rodgers and do enough to keep it close at the end, and Manning's going to lead one of his overrated comeback drives.
Okay. So
I know nothing about gambling. Otherwise, I wouldn't waste my time coming here every day. But I do know one little trend. Whenever it seems that the public is in love with an underdog, that team almost never does it. I think Green Bay wins this game by 3 touchdowns. I don't think this is going to be a close game at all. I think Green Bay is absolutely going to crush the Giants.
I'm with Paul. I'm not sure about the crush, but, you know, the Giants are coming in with this.
Everybody's on the Giants.
I mean, Giants, even the Giants
themselves are saying. The formula 07, it's the same. It's everybody's on. So we're all on the Giants.
If you listen to the Giants, they got this game figured out.
I heard guys talking yesterday. They got the front fours back healthy. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They're like the last ranked running offense in football.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about just taking a snapshot of one game and saying they can do X. They ran the ball well last week. Yeah. They haven't been able to run the ball all year. They ran it well last week. You know, I'm not buying. I think the Giants are a good team, but they're not Green Bay. My only concern if I were a Green Bay fan is the tragedy that happened this week with their offensive coordinator's son how that impacts the team. Every time I saw anything with Green Bay this week, all I saw was either a coach or a player crying. And I don't know how that helps you leading into a game. So that, to me, would be a concern if I were a Packer fan. But football wise, this is a blowout. They'll kill them.
Yeah,
at Lambeau
I really
Field.
Just think that Green Bay is that much better. I agree with Paul. You know, look, Eli, Packers defense. You look at that. Okay, that's reason for hope. Front four for the Giants, getting to Aaron Rodgers, that gives you some hope. But he's so smart, and he is mobile. And it's in Green Bay. I got to go with the Packers in this one.
And you made a good point too, Freddie, about even the Giants are talking about.
Right.
I saw, I think Antrell.
We're not the same team.
Antrell Roll said, "There's absolutely no way we're giving up 38 to them again, like we did last time."
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of bad things coming out of that locker room. And I have respect for the Giants and their program. I like Tom Coughlin. You know that. I just don't think they're ready for this one.
Okay. All right, Paul.
Andy's shaking his head.
I'm shaking my head at Rick Bucher, the Mike Mayock of basketball, apparently, doing his top seven NBA players.
Russell Westbrook is seven.
I don't even care about who he picks. Why do you pick seven? Either pick 10 or pick five.
Oh, you got to go too deep on the bench.
Oh, that's stupid. It's a starting five. It's a top five. It's five.
Russell Westbrook.
You know what that tells me?
May not be a top seven point guy.
I don't want to leave one of my guys out. Oh, this guy likes me and I talked to him. I can't leave him out.
All right, we're going to jump back.
Punani.
Saturday night.
To Saturday night. 8:15 kickoff or so.
Ish. I hope we're not late, Paul, thinking it was like an 8:03 or 8:05 kickoff.
This happens, this happens. I'll be in the conference room.
And if it's like the Ravens game, the game will be over.
That's a good point. Remember what happened with Troy Brown and Stacey?
Yep, they missed it.
What's the number now, Paul?
13.5.
Still.
13.5.
Hey, Pat Ross.
It hasn't
stayed.
Stayed. Hasn't moved at all this week, huh?
And that shows you how much everybody is on the Giants. That opened at 9, I believe. It was down to 7.5 this morning at the place that I looked.
Okay.
You know, not maybe it's still 9 some other places. Jeff in Vegas might have it at 9.
3.
What is that?
You got 3.
You hit
the basket.
You confused me.
Russell Westbrook, the seventh best player.
I'm going to stick with my going against the worst quarterback in the game. So I'll go against Tim Tebow, as I like to do, as I'm wont to do, Paul would say. I will take the New England Patriots to roll in this one. I don't think they allow 250 yards rushing or 160 in the first quarter. I don't think they let Willis McGahee finish his, quote, unfinished business. And I don't think they let Doomerville and those guys get to Tom Brady. I think Brady will absolutely put on a show and show what a real NFL quarterback looks like in a real primetime playoff game.
I think this might be the first time that Andy's picked the Patriots that he's been happy about.
I am giddy to say.
No. A month ago in Denver, he did the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll double the
second time.
I'll double the spread and still feel comfortable. Up by 27, that's fine. They are going to roll over the Broncos, who don't belong to be in the postseason, don't belong to be one of the final eight teams in the National Football League playoffs.
All right, we are going to skip over Eric and go to Paul.
In an effort to add a little drama to the program, I
We're
have
to Jim
agree
Gray
with
here
my
to ask the question.
Oh, Jim Gray? Was that what he said?
Jim Gray.
Well, that's what I tweeted out. I tweeted out that this is bigger than LeBron's decision.
And you're equally as hated as LeBron.
I have to agree with my big-headed compadre. I think everything he said is accurate. I just can't see, rather than just an utter slop turnover fest by the Patriots, I can't see Denver staying competitive.
Oh, adding to their no chances, do you see their defensive coordinators interviewing today or something?
Yeah. And
he had a short week, and he's taking time out of it to interview for a head coaching gig? What?
I know.
You got to fly across the country with you? I mean, what? What?
Terrible. So, anyway, I like the Patriots. I like them big, 38-13. I think
I like
that
how he gives a score.
There's a score in there. Yeah.
He always does it because he gives his all-access score, I assume,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's like Mr. TV guy. I got to stick with my TV show.
Well, I mean,
consistency.
I mean, I could make up a whole other thing just so in case anyone saw it in different place, I'm increasing my odds.
That's what those 1-900 numbers do.
That's the only thing I was pointing out.
They do both sides so that 50% of the people will get it right no matter what.
And he doesn't give scores, so you're not allowed to give scores.
Yeah, I just didn't know. Are we expected to give a score in this segment?
You don't have to. You can if you want to. Give you a prediction. You can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah.
I didn't
want to steal your thing.
I didn't intrude on your prediction.
I'm not allowed on All Access. So
I do agree. You're on All Access every week.
The paycheck ain't the same, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we don't get paid.
And he gets paid way too much.
So far this year, that's what I've gotten paid.
But I don't.
Which is even better for you. It means there's a huge check coming.
But I consider, if I don't have to get up from my desk, I'm fine with it.
I don't. If they're using my face and image, they owe me money.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I just don't see Denver.
You owe everybody else.
I don't
money.
See Denver keeping up.
I don't even know what that means.
I started off the week.
For having to look at you.
On our TV show. Saying
sorry,
that
Paul. We're having a little background.
This is the first ever double bye in the history of the NFL playoffs.
Yes.
I believe that. No
We've
team
coined
has,
that.
No team has ever lost in a bye week. The Patriots will not lose on this bye
we're
week.
We're going to have to put a little TM next to that.
Is that like a double
blowout?
You know what?
Yeah. I'm very close to saying
he cannot talk about anything without there being a sexual, homosexual connotation to it.
No, I don't think
a double what?
I think lesbian.
He's just obsessed.
Yeah.
Poo-poo and gay people. He's obsessed.
Wait, the other day it was poo-poo and breasts.
Poo-poo tinkums.
The other day it was poo-poo and breasts. What is it?
Barney Frank's breasts.
Oh.
So, I
assume that you agree.
I am going with the Patriots. I was very close to saying they won't cover, but I think that
Denver, the great Tim Tebow.
You know, I don't think
they don't cover, they lose.
Yeah, I don't think Denver can keep it close, and I don't think there'll be any backdoor scores that make it closer.
Speaking of Andy.
So I'm with Paul. With Patriots win and cover.
Tim Tebow.
Which brings us to Eric.
Speaking of backdoor
Eric, scores. Do you have any preface that you want to before you give your pick?
I just want to say I am a big believer in things happening for a reason. I'm a big believer in forces of nature, higher forces conspiring to do things that we might not comprehend. I'm a big believer in adversity being an opportunity for people to showcase their character, their mettle, what they're really made of. And in this season, the Patriots and their defense have been much maligned. Tim Tebow has gotten a lot of credit for being the person who he is, the player that he is. However you want to categorize that.
Okay.
And I do believe he's a good kid. I do believe he's authentic.
Good Lord. And he's taking this spotlight seriously.
Well, that's all right. Let him go. This is his time.
I do believe that with time, he's going to develop into a 52%
passer
NFL quarterback, and he's going to be the Broncos quarterback for a while. And I do think that he's going to get his opportunity to work with John Elway this offseason. And I believe his offseason is going to start.
How long are we going here?
On Saturday night.
Ah.
Because the Broncos are going to come here, and Tom Brady and the Patriots offense are going to put up quite a few points against this defense. They're not going to allow 167 yards rushing in the first quarter. The Broncos, as gritty as they have been under Tebow, are going to keep it close. It's not going to be a blowout, and it's not going to be the kind of showcase that some people are expecting for Tebow, but it's going to be a close game. The Patriots are going to pull it out in the end. There's something going on with this team.
With the Patriots?
With the Patriots, yes.
So the forces of nature are on the Patriots
side. And the adversity that their defense has had to endure this year has been showing the quality of their character and what this team is made of. There's something very cyclical about this being the 10-year anniversary of their first Super Bowl and a lot of the similarities between what happened that season and what's going on this season. Losses they've had to endure off the field.
Dick Rabine?
Yep.
So the only reason why Denver's going to lose is because of the forces of nature working for the Patriots?
No.
Our force is stronger than your force.
I just wanted to know why you were picking against your team.
It's not my team,
Paul. See, the listeners didn't see Paul's face when he said that. It was just such a droll, a droll face.
That was intentional, though.
I thought it was funny. It's hilarious.
I don't want you to make it sound like I was being, disgusted with him. I did that intentionally.
Well, I think part of it was.
No, I just want to know why he's picking against his team.
It's not my team, Paul.
That's the main reason. He doesn't want people knowing him online as a Broncos fan.
Thank you.
I'm not a Broncos fan.
The opposite is of a homer is a Scalavino.
I'm not a Broncos fan. So there you go.
So the Patriots, but Denver covers.
Patriots are going to win. What was the spread again?
13? You said it was going to be a close game. I already wrote Denver covers.
Yes.
Don't tell me it's a close game and they didn't cover 13.
No. I think, Paul, Eric, you did a good job. I think a lot of people thought, he's going to go with the Broncos. But I think you did a good job of building that up to a Patriots pick.
I set them up.
You made the Patriots pick interesting.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was bored. So Patriots win, Broncos cover.
Eric, Andy just can't.
No, he
give
can't.
Any,
he can't give
no
any
else.
Credit to anybody.
Oh my God.
No, I'm an idiot because I give a score.
Today's my birthday. Idiot. One day closer to being dead. Right. It's just he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
It's not
good,
about him.
But you were sick last year.
Right. You know you're gonna die someday. Yeah. You might as well stop counting those birthdays because every birthday you have it gets closer to one day. Oh, you blew out the candles, huh? Should have kept them lit. You may not be seeing those again.
Those are my favorites. When he goes off on those rants on Andy,
because they are spot on. They are, and that's why they're good.
You know, but when he does it to me, I can't appreciate how funny they are until afterwards because I'm usually mad. When he does it to you, that's just so funny.
All right. All right. Well, that's the picks. We'll see what happens.
It's a good thing, by the way, that we did those picks early because I don't know if we would have had any more time with Eric's pick.
Jesus Christ. Dead Sea Scrolls.
And on the third day.
Yeah, and on the seventh day, Tebow will rest.
Right. There you go. That'll be Sunday.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. I love it.
So you're all on the Patriots.
Doesn't he get to rest whether he wins or he loses?
Well, you know.
No.
Rest for the season. Yes.
See, that's another typical one.
You just stomp on.
Eric comes up with a clever little spin with the religion. Of course you got to be. Doesn't he rest no matter what? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't pass the test.
You are a killjoy.
It's not like the AFC title game is on Sunday.
I could just see Andy, like, when he was 5 years old in the schoolyard, and it's like, why did the chicken go to the other, you know, to get to the other side? He's like, well, he could have been going. Right. What if he got hit by a car?
What if he had to go to the bathroom?
Right.
You know, how do you know there wasn't a butcher chasing him with a knife? He's trying to escape. He's trying to live.
Oh, my God.
I'd cross the road, too.
Just you're like the rain on everyone's parade.
I don't rain on anyone's parade.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
He has the audacity to say stuff like that, too.
Right.
I'm the most optimistic person you've
ever met. I'm never happy.
When you say things like that, when you're in such denial about this, it questions any other argument you have. Because I know that
what are you babbling about?
You can't accept anything.
Mm. What can I accept? You're right. I cannot accept that Tim Tebow is a good quarterback because I don't accept lies.
All right, we're not getting
falsification.
When I first started doing like the radio stuff, I used to worry like, you know, if I'm critical of the Patriots, you know, will someone here be upset?
Right.
Know, will they get mad?
Besides me.
Now, all I worry about is if I say something that Andy's going to tweet out and make fun of me about.
Right.
That's all I concern myself with.
Keep you on your toes.
Oh God. Andy's got little black socks with NFL shields on the side.
I love these socks.
Do you really?
Ken Flanders gave these to me. They were like a sample. They're tremendous.
Yeah.
Really thick and comfortable.
Thorlow. Are they? They got, you know, padded in the right areas.
You know what I'm saying? They got the padding in all the right spots.
I don't know.
No, but you ever have Thorlow socks?
No, I don't know.
Like, really good. They have like extra cushioning.
They're probably expensive, like and I can't afford them, and you can.
I never do that. Yeah. He just bang. He
does. Just has to turn it into like. Why are you even? Talking
I can open another bottle of Coke.
I'm getting hot.
That's why I got.
Because we're all so active.
Because I've been laughing so much, I think the fat guy's starting to get sweaty.
Mike in Nashville, you know, it's only 1:30, so we have another half hour.
Long way to go.
Usually we wrap this up.
Right. Mike in Nashville writes in, love the show. Can you remind me when everyone got on board with Tom Brady? My memory isn't great, but I remember having some reservations about him even after he led the team to the Super Bowl win over the Rams. He had a weak arm, no mobility in the pocket, but he seemed to come through in the clutch time after time. I think it was probably midway through the following season before I started to feel he might be the superstar he's become. Until that point, I felt like he was part of the Patriots' winning formula, but gave more credit to Belichick and the defense.
It's a good question.
Well, it's interesting because after that season, the Patriots did sign him to an extension, and there were some...
And they traded Bledsoe.
Right, and they trade right. And there were some in the media that said, well, you know, maybe the Patriots jumped the gun on that extension.
Absolutely right. And I'll take it a step further. They won the first three of 0-2 and then lost four in a row. And the fourth in a row led into the game against Buffalo, at Buffalo. And Drew got off to a very good start. Drew had a very good first year in Buffalo for a bad, bad team. They went 8-8, I think, or 9-7, something. They were a really bad team that got better, and he lit it up. He threw for like 4,300 yards.
Set a record, didn't he?
And went to the Pro Bowl again.
For the Bills?
So a lot of people started saying, you know, did they make the right choice? You know, between Brady and Bledsoe.
Oh, you know, does anyone know what this Grepolis.tv is?
I'm sorry for talking about football. I didn't mean it.
Want me to look it up?
Is it a game or? And then another thing, just one other thing I forgot to bring up. Did you have, when you guys were kids, did you read books?
All the time.
I can't read now.
Did you ever read, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs is known for Tarzan, but probably a better series he wrote was John Carter of Mars. You guys ever read those? Mm. Well, Disney's making it into a movie. I just thought that was really interesting. I read all those books, John Carter of Mars, when I was a kid. Oh, my God. Mike from Columbus, Ohio says, I just finished listening to yesterday's podcast and heard the comments about Josh McDaniels might be able to challenge Belichick on the draft. I'm a quarter of the way through The War Room by Michael Holley. And he recently touched on the Lawrence Maroney and Chad Jackson draft. Holly reported the Patriots scouting department had both players rated lower, mostly due to a lack of professionalism and lack of football desire. McDaniels was the champion for Maroney, and one of the chief reasons being his brother was on the University of Minnesota coaching staff. As far as Jackson, that was mostly due to Belichick's growing relationship with Urban Meyer. Just would like your opinion if you have heard any of those rumblings as well. You know, one
I
of
haven't heard much.
One of the things
about that,
I don't
that makes
like,
sense. What he just said.
One of the things I don't like how Bill drafts, and he's not the only one that does it. But you know, knowing somebody on the, you know, like the head coach, and I think a lot of times teams draft guys from schools to do a favor for the school. I really think that a lot of teams do.
Oh,
that.
I don't.
You
I
don't?
Think they do it because they trust the guy.
Yeah,
that they feel like they don't know for sure if this coach or this coach they can
yeah,
trust.
Yeah, but they need
but
to trust their
can...
own eyes.
But you don't draft a guy in the first or second round.
Oh, no,
because
no, not that high.
Favor.
Not that high.
Well, that's what we're talking about. First and second round picks.
Maybe they took Andy Stokes for a favor at Bill Mary or where the hell he was from.
William Penn. Yeah.
William Penn.
Listen.
Bill Mary? Is that what you said?
Bill and Mary is really the SEC compared to Bill Penn.
Fred, it is a game.
It's a game.
It says, build magnificent cities, forge mighty alliances, utilize the power of the gods, and conquer the world.
I'm going to get on that.
It sounds something like Kurt Schilling would be interested.
Freddie, what is verified true Pats fans? Does that mean they're an official fan club of the Patriots?
In what context?
In Twitter. On Twitter, it says there's somebody tweeted me something that they wanted to get a shout out on the show, and they're verified true Pats fans.
But is that their name, or are they actually verified?
No, there's a check mark, and it says verified true
on
Pats
Twitter?
Fans. On Twitter?
I didn't. They must do that themselves, because
yeah.
I don't think Twitter does that.
Yeah, I don't think they're really verified.
The only thing we do is we officially register fan clubs on Patriots.com.
Yeah, I didn't know if that
has nothing to do with Twitter.
Oh, it has nothing to
do
with
that. Well, Twitter has verification.
Yes.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to do it. Yeah.
But not true, unless that's a new thing.
To quote PR, we didn't want you verified.
Unless it's a new thing where you can declare yourself a fan of something and be verified? I don't know.
Because there's this group down in South Florida that says that they listen to our show all the time via the iTouch app.
Okay.
And they are...
That's the Jerry Sandusky app.
They're Patriots fans down in South Florida, and they're going to host a weekly blog talk show.
Okay, good.
Starting
good.
This week, I guess.
You guys want to have Paul on? Give him a call. He'd be happy to do it.
They're called Patriots First Down. That's the name of the group.
What is that for?
All right. Excellent.
Oh, I don't think I care for that guy. I think I've fought him on Twitter before.
Who?
Who haven't you fought on Twitter?
Jinx.
Let's see. Jan writes in, during the Patriots-Broncos game on December 18th, at the 5:49 mark in the second quarter.
Paul, you handle this one.
There is video of Tebow's throwing mechanics and then Brady's. I remember that.
That was when Sims was all over his jock, and I didn't agree with the visual.
Phil Sims comments that people have questioned if Tebow can throw the ball correctly, and then Sims comments that the video shows he does it very well and causes the ball to be thrown correctly. Then we see Brady throwing the ball, and Sims comments that Brady does it the same way as Tebow. But the start of Tom's throw is not the same as Tebow's. Tom holds the ball vertically so you don't see the top dorsal part of his hand. Tebow holds the ball horizontally so you can see the top part of his hand, and the ball is positioned differently also. Phil Sims gave the impression that they both throw the ball the same way. Yeah, he was wrong.
TV guys do that all the time. They go to this clip that supposedly is saying what they're saying, and it never says what they're saying.
The other part of that is it never – the big thing with Tebow's mechanics is how long it takes him to throw the ball.
Right.
And it never addressed that. Okay, so maybe when the ball actually left his hand, it was very similar to the way it leaves Brady's hand.
It's like Rohan's
true.
But no, Rohan, I'm saying maybe
when it leaves Brady's hand, it goes to the receiver. When it leaves Tebow's hand,
you can't,
it goes
you
more
can't
to nowhere.
You can't do anything seriously, even for like 10 seconds.
I'm being dead serious. Last week, go back and watch the game. There were incompletions where receivers did the Randy Moss and threw their hands up like, you gotta be kidding me, I was open and you missed me by 5 yards. I mean, that's literally how they're left at times.
But my point is, you could do a clip like the one that CBS did that day, and you and I immediately jumped all over it. I remember in the conference room.
It was ridiculous.
But you can actually see the ball go out of the guy's hands and look at Tebow and look at Brady, and you can say, oh, okay, well, I can see similarities. But you're not addressing what people are saying is part of the problem.
Right.
You know, let's see Tom Brady get the ball in his hand and decide from the moment he decides, I'm going to throw it till it gets out of his hand, as opposed to Tebow.
Right. I mean, Rohan Davey could throw it 80 yards, but he had a windup that took forever.
Yeah.
You know?
But that is something you can
teach. He's
going
to get better, though. He deserves a chance.
You can teach that. Can you not?
You can. I don't know why anybody hasn't in the last decade with Tim Tebow.
It's been at least 6 years, right?
Because they haven't had to. In Florida.
They've tried.
In Florida.
They tried in the NFL. They tried in the pre-draft process. He was supposed
and
to
they
work
tried in college.
8 hours a day to fix
all right.
it.
We've done enough of that.
Right, exactly. They never fixed it.
I'm not done with Jan. Oh, jeez. I'm not done with Jan's email. She says, later in the game, we see a video of Tebow throwing right-handed as if he was doing it the same as Brady. I think that was disingenuous for Sims.
I totally agree
to
with Jan.
Give the impression that Tebow throws the ball the same way as Tom. Can you please comment on what you think about it?
Well didn't they transposed it, right?
Yeah, they flipped them around. Okay. I totally agree with Jan. Andy and I were all over it. Andy's been all over it since. He brings it up once a week.
Also, Paul, you give the most credit to Tom when he performs well. It was really nice to hear you standing up for him the other day when you mentioned that he is paid the most of any player, which means he must be great.
Is that sarcasm?
I don't know what that really means, but...
Because Ocho Cinco's paid the most of any Patriots receiver, and, you know. Was that sarcasm? Did that end with sarcastic, Jan?
I'm with Jan's email, though. Overall, I think that was spot on. I don't know why you think people can't hear that.
I didn't know if that sentence was going to be about that or something else.
I know.
You really didn't even break stride there.
Nope, not at all. No punctuation. Just like the SPFWs we get.
Oh, I am very much a stream of consciousness guy.
That's why they hate you.
That's the truth. The truth is never mean.
If you knew that, you'd fix them before they showed up in print.
Oh, wow. That just turned on you.
It really did.
I didn't see that coming
that way. See that one
you might
coming.
Want to spray over there.
John writes in, we have been dead at work, so I thought I'd throw a couple things your way that I fill my days with. First, it has nothing to do with anything, but for some reason I decided Tebow is the Ned Flanders of the NFL, and it makes me laugh now every time I read an article that's all I can think of. My other thought that I have been toiling over is the Patriots D. I know they fail horribly at the eyeball test and, well, just the pure statistical test. However, I really wonder if teams second-guess the eyeballs in stats based on the reputation of Bill Belichick having opportunistic playmaking defenses in the past. Is it possible that as bad as they are, Belichick's reputation is actually a psychological weapon that teams use against themselves when it's paired with the knowledge that apparently the Patriots will do whatever they need to do to find a way to compete? McCourty at safety, Slater playing D, etc.
I didn't understand the question.
Is
there anything to the Belichick aura that gets into the heads of other teams?
I think the Brady aura might get into the heads of other teams.
I think the aura has taken a hit the last few years.
What aura? The aura of they make any quarterback look good aura?
Aura. She featured tonight at the Foxy Lady? The aura?
Put your hands together for aura.
Colin in Belgium says he just downloaded Tuesday's show and it ended with Paul. I think it was Paul saying that if we lose to the Broncos, it'll be worse than the Giants lost in the Super Bowl.
He said it'd be comparable. I don't think I said it'd be worse.
After that game, I went into an emotional coma that still hurts from time to time. That loss hurts so bad, I can't think of an analogy, but I'll try. To go from feeling that good to feeling that bad so fast, it was like having sex with the hottest woman out there, Brooklyn Decker, if you want, Andy. And just as you're almost all the way there, having your gonads ripped off. You just don't bounce back from that.
That's, you know what? You're right. You can't, it's hard to bounce back after that one.
You know what it's a little like in that Quentin Tarantino movie where Salma Hayek is dancing and she's this, you know, Salma Hayek.
She's hot.
And then she turns into like
a vampire?
A huge, scary
monster. From Darkness Till Dusk, I think it is. Or from
Dusk Till Dawn.
Something like that, yeah.
But that's exactly what that is, and it does. The first time I ever saw that...
I didn't even know the movie. It made me laugh.
I saw that when I was like a teenager, and you're like, ooh, what? Ah!
And then you immediately you get the shrinkage and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any of you guys going to the locker room or no?
After we leave here.
Great, thanks for the help.
You don't need any help. You're a star.
Three guys at the podium today. Can't do both.
It'll be transcribed. And you don't miss anything. It's called transcription.
Right.
Although I did ask the best question at the Matt Light.
Yeah, so now you'll have to deal with bad questions.
Bad questions.
Andy won't be there.
The rest of the media's
pat himself on the back.
Crap sheet will get it done. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I understand. It's hard to top falling, you know, 30 seconds shy of going 19-0.
Of being the greatest team ever in any sport.
I mean, that's hard. I just think that losing to a bad team like this, when it's all set up for you on a tee.
Well, a little bit of it is what you think of the Broncos. If you think
right.
the Broncos
that's what I'm saying.
Are an embarrassing
right.
opponent,
right.
that's
and
what I'm saying.
They're a bye.
See, that's why I think it's comparable, even though this is a divisional round game.
A lot of people don't think that. Think that.
Right. But here's the thing. The only people that don't think that in all seriousness are people that are like the true Bostonian types.
in the
that
Tebow
always
ball
that always fear the worst.
The Tebow ball washers too.
Well, you know, and I have one of those that I talk to all the time here in this building. No socks. Who even he doesn't think there's a chance they could lose.
Well, Brian says it's not fear of Tebow. The only people with faith in that guy's ability is him and his teammates and Denver fans, I'm sure. The trepidation is because of the last few playoff appearances and have absolutely nothing to do with Tebow. It just so happens that this is getting hugely hyped because it is Tebow. He's the NFL's holy grail at the moment, no pun intended, and brings the massive ratings. Beyond that, my only fear is that the Patriots beat themselves, which is the only way the Patriots lose this game, really.
I agree with
that. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened.
You know who Tim Tebow is? Kimbo Slice. Remember him?
Yeah. He's the MMA guy?
He was the cult sensation off the internet who was the toughest guy ever, who CBS and Strikeforce or whatever decided they were going to build an MMA federation around.
When you hate a guy, you bring it all the way.
And what happened? He sucked. He got knocked the bleep out. Because you know what? In the end, he wasn't that good. He was a media creation more than an actual athlete. And that's what Tim Tebow is. Thank you. Okay. No further questions. Matt in Oregon, see if you can back me up on that since you're the MMA expert.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline down here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi,
how
Jeff.
Are you doing?
Hey, fantastic. First of all, what an eloquent pick from Eric Scalafino, how it built to a crescendo and then climaxed with his taking New England.
Yes. Should have had some music in the background.
I just wanted to pat it on the back. No climax.
Yes, the Giants are +7.5. It has dropped.
It has dropped. So everybody's on the Giants.
Yeah, and one thing for the listeners, when Paul Perillo is like this, go with Paul's pick. I agree. In this instance, Giants are going to get blown out.
Wow.
When Paul's gut speaks, carry some weight.
I am worried about that Joe Philbin factor.
Well, it's
how that emotionally
it's
affects.
An emotional factor.
It's such an emotional thing, and it's not really hard to predict.
It's not a tangible factor because he's not the play caller. But I mean, if he were the play caller, it could also be a tangible factor. But
you know
it's
what?
I'm
talking about how the team. Right. I mean, Nick McDonald was broken up in the Patriots locker room about this yesterday.
But
Nick
you also
McDonald
know how that
played
goes.
In Green Bay.
That goes one or two ways. They score 75 points, and then all
and
of a sudden
cry
it's
and
the
they lift them off.
Yeah,
and they cry and lift them on
the greatest story in sports history.
Right.
Better than TV.
Yeah, you do remember a lot less tragic when Brett Favre's father passed the results against the Raiders on that night game.
Right.
Last thing, I was at this swanky nightclub at the Bellagio the other night. Who did I run into but Marshall Faulk was being escorted into the club, and he had to pass directly in front of me. And I just got right up to him and said, Marshall, why are you such a New England hater? Don't hate on the Patriots. Sure enough, he took Denver yesterday on NFL Network.
He did not. Oh, my God.
He did.
These guys just forfeit wins every week. It amazes me.
Yeah.
So he didn't. Yeah. Did he respond to you verbally?
He looked, he heard to me, he listened, and then he ignored me. But he definitely heard it.
Not surprised.
And then the next day.
Did he have any hot chicks with him?
No, he's with another guy. It was Hyde at the Bellagio. It's like one of these ultra lounge type places.
God forbid you're with a guy in Vegas.
Just saying.
I tweeted at him after that, and then he didn't announce that he was there. I think he was trying to be sort of on the down low.
Well, he was with a guy, obviously. Yeah.
And so, but, and then, you know.
Strippers, where are you? Andy Hart says that Marshall Faulk is gay.
He was with a dude.
Exactly. So, guys, counting down the minutes until the, Patriots pregame show, a social sponsored by JetBlue. So, can't wait for that. And again, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, right?
Looking forward to your
thanks,
smart
Jeff.
Correct,
money.
Jeff. Thanks.
For the call.
And you can tune into that, Fred, to get the Jeff in Vegas smart money pick of the week.
Okay, good. You know, sponsored by the Bellagio?
Hyde, was it?
Freddie, you got a minute. Do you want to hear any of that phone call from Pete?
Yeah, do you have some good parts queued up?
The whole thing is pretty soft.
I don't want to listen to
it. No,
it's
I
like
know.
Six
I'll let
minutes
it run,
long.
I'll let it run for like a minute.
Okay.
6 minutes?
I don't know. Okay, let's
right, the phone's already here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Rick in New Hampshire. Hey, Rick, up next to you with Pete. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
So how's life treating you? All good stuff, family, everything else.
Well, you know, it's I can't complain. How about you?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard getting everybody involved together, same place, same thing, everything. Oh, it's tough, dude.
I know. Well, kick them
all
out.
So you follow sports at all and seeing how the playoffs?
Yeah, I am. You following sports?
Well, I tried.
Yeah.
What do you like to follow? A couple indications what I thought might happen.
Okay.
You know, for the playoffs. Sure. But, so what's your thought anyway?
Well, you know, I'm gonna hear, I'm more interested in your thoughts.
Oh, my thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough. Okay, so we get the picture.
So that's not a setup. Is that real?
It sounded a little like a setup. It
sounds like a setup.
I don't know. Pete was jumping right on him, making fun of him.
Yeah.
Because when he called, he sounded normal, and then when he went
that's
on
a setup.
Yeah, I don't think.
You sure that's not the most interesting Patriots fan or something playing a gag on Pete?
I think that could be somebody from EEI playing a gag.
Or Pete just trying to make his show interesting.
Yeah.
EEI's upset that Pete gets more listeners here, too?
Right, right. Rich Fletch in London says, I have no comment about the game on Saturday. I believe we will stomp on the neck of the ponies. I merely want to share my views about the PFW crew.
Oh, boy.
Eric, you really, really suck.
Must you?
Your air of pomposity gives a stench I can smell in London.
Yep.
But, Andy, before you get too jolly and suck us, you suck as well.
Suck
your stupid
mother.
Throw a dart index is pure stupidity. Paul, you're the only thing that gets these podcasts off the ground.
Ugh.
Good insight, balance most of the time. Fred, don't take this wrong, the wrong way, but I have to think of you in terms of a clown, great laughs,
wow,
and the best host there could be, but hardly any football insight. Jets suck. If I was too hard on you, I love you guys. So there you go. That's
clearly you're drunk and delusional.
I think it's a very astute caller.
Jan,
Mr. Perillo.
Jan writes back, says she wasn't being sarcastic, Paul. She heard you last week arguing with some guy, and you were standing up for Tom. I thought you said the reason for the Patriots' success is because of Tom, not because of the Patriots' system.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and then true. I thought you
that's
said
true.
That is why Tom is paid.
It's the highest
most
paid player
right.
in the league.
Sure,
yeah.
Right.
No, I know what I remember now what Jan was talking about.
Do you know what his net worth is, supposedly? I found this new website called CelebrityNetWorth.com.
What were
you ever
worth?
Heard of it, Fred?
What were you
CelebrityNetWorth.com, is it in any way accurate?
I don't know.
Because it lists him as 100 million.
Well, he and Giselle, right? As
no.
couples?
He's 100. She's 250.
Okay.
So the combined would be 350.
Right.
It lists Bill Belichick as 35 million for
right.
his net worth. I was just bouncing around.
$350 million
between the
couple.
Of them.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
But that's net,
that's
right?
A lot.
Right.
That's a
means
lot of, that's a lot of
the
money.
The house is paid, like that mansion they built, that's not included because, or whatever, they paid that off.
No.
How do they do that?
Net would be how much after all their debt is cleared, how
right.
much they have left.
Right. Net worth, $350 million.
I'm not sure.
So that means they have like a multi-million dollar asset?
Right.
That's not included in their
right.
$350 million worth?
Well, no, I think it's they subtract paying it off, right?
Right.
That's how if they have a mortgage for $20 million, they really have $370 million, but
right.
20
so
of it's
that's
not
what I'm saying.
There.
They have a home that's worth $20 million that's not counted in that? Like, because they could
no, it is
easily
counted,
sell it.
Sort. Well, but that would just get that $20 million back. Yeah,
yeah so it
yeah.
goes up to 370 is
okay,
what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yes.
And who knows how many other things like that.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know how many of their things are just paid off, too. Maybe they're all just paid off and they're included in
that's
that
350. Amazing.
But it's an interesting website. You can type in virtually any, like I did Dan Patrick.
What are you worth?
Jim Rome. Celebrities.
Well, you're a celebrity.
You're, and you're you have, obsessed with Jim Rome.
And you have acres.
Well, they say he makes $15 million a year, not 30. You know. Which is a big difference.
Right.
Either way, I think it's ridiculous.
But he had two things going on. He had a, didn't he have a?
It's kind of like saying you make $50,000.
He had his Rome is Burning show on ESPN, but he also had his syndicated radio show.
Right, and they mentioned both those.
Okay.
But I think that $30 million might be his new syndication deal with CBS.
Right.
So okay. He might have been making $15 million and CBS ponied up and wanted it.
Yeah, and I read that I didn't see anything on radio, so I was wrong. I figured they put him on, they'd give him a radio show. They didn't mention anything about a radio show.
Who?
Jim Rome.
Romy.
The new stuff that he's going to be doing for CBS.
Is TV?
It's TV.
Oh, I thought it was his radio show on Westwood One.
That's
CBS.
What I thought.
Wait, so
well, I figured it'd be both.
His TV show is going to CBS?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, it's a new show.
When and where?
So it's not the show that he does now?
I don't know if they're going to call it the same, but it's...
No, but when and where would it be? Like, when does CBS have a time with
I know
Rome is Burning?
It's debuting around March Madness.
Because that show is absolutely unwatchable. I don't know if you've
but
seen
it's also,
it.
At least, you expect shows like that on ESPN. When would you right. go to CBS and say, oh, Rome is... I go to CBS for sitcoms and news.
I thought
and...
that they said it's going to be at 6 p.m. Because they have a...
During the news?
No, during the week?
CBS has a new sports station, you know. It's like up... I forget what the...
Oh, the CBS... Like the college sports station?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, you're going to put it on one of those channels.
Yeah, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock.
And no one will watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I see.
That's what I
that makes more sense to me.
But wait a minute. He's making $30 million
to
do that?
Well, he's probably going to do a ton of other things, too.
I'll do a lot of things for $30 million. Oh, yeah.
Some of which we can't name here.
Some of the things you accuse me of, I'll do for $30 million. Oh, come on. You wouldn't take one up the pooper for $30 million?
You know my answer to that.
Of course you would.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just as long as we're all being honest here.
Guys in jail, do it for free. Luke in Ireland says, can any of you name me a team in football or in sports in general that has more enemies and haters than the New England Patriots?
Probably the Yankees.
I think the Yankees, the Canadians, I think as many fans as the Cowboys have, there's that many haters.
Right. Yeah.
You know, any team like that. I wouldn't even think the Patriots are the top three, as a matter of fact.
Well, they were. That poll came out recently. It was eighth, seventh, somewhere in there.
I think nationwide.
That makes
sense. The Red Sox have to be rivaling the Patriots nationwide now. It seems there's a lot of Red Sox hate out there.
Now there's hate.
Well, there should be. I've said that to you a million times. Like, the Boston sports guy is a national writer for ESPN, and yet I always have to read about the Red Sox.
Screw
you have
the
all
Sox.
These things where they.
But I'm even going with some things with like what they do all summer long. Like, they go down to Baltimore all the time and they completely take over the park.
Right.
They go up to Toronto and do the same thing. I think that kind of stuff really wears on them.
But that's their fans. I'm talking about.
But that's
do
why
I need
you
to
hate.
Really go to ESPN.com and have like three major headline stories be Red Sox? Are they the only team in the world?
Wow, the things that he gets angry about.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Angry, angry little man.
That's why my wife and I get along so well. There was a commercial last night for an eye drop solution, something about dry eyes, whatever. You'll have the your best eyes you've ever had. Every person in the commercial, like three different people, four different people, had these like freakishly bluish green, like really cool eyes. She goes off on her, well, brown eyes aren't attractive. Brown eyes don't deserve drops. Brown eyes aren't cool. I'm offended by this commercial, she said. She got into a fight with an eye drop commercial. That's why we're tight.
JC writes in, I'm in Florida in the sun. My friend just texted me that there will be 40-mile-an-hour winds game night. If that's not divinity stepping in, what is? I will be looking for a halo on Tebow, and horns growing on Bill Brady will turn into a pagan by second quarter if this wind report is true.
But who does that help?
That helps Broncos.
Yeah, they're the ones who can run
for
200.
That's his point.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it's accurate. I know it's supposed to get cold.
I didn't see the wind.
Yeah,
I heard 20 degrees
and normal.
Yeah.
I didn't
the wind's going to come in earlier to bring in the cold weather.
Right. Today and tomorrow is windy.
Right.
It's windy right now, but it's also warm right now.
So,
it's like 47 degrees out.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Get on our don't we have a weather official weather forecaster or something? Who does the weather around here?
That would be Bob Doyle. Bob Doppler.
Doppler.
Let's see. Anthony from Toronto. Hey, guys, all I want is a damn foot playoff win. Last one was the AFC Championship game against the Chargers. Times have been rough in New England recently, but that will change Saturday night. I emailed in last time we played the Broncos, and I said, look back at that game. We'll look back at that game and laugh that we were worried. It will happen again this week. We are home, coming off a bye week on prime time. Look back at the primetime games the Patriots have played in 2011, Chiefs 34-3, Jets 37-16, Dolphins 38-24, 2010, Dolphins 41-14, Steelers 39-26, Jets 45-3, and Packers 31-27. Bad example, we still won. All these are dominating wins except the Packers game. Throughout the years, it's been like this with Bill and Tom. This will be a huge advantage. Patriots 38-17.
It's close.
Yeah.
13. Sorry, Andy. I didn't mean to inject a score into that prediction. I know you get upset about that.
Before we end the show, let's go to Ann in Colorado Springs in the middle of Tim Tebow country. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
Doing
are you,
great.
Are you holding up amidst all
We're
that?
We're holding up. It's hard.
Sure.
It is insane out here. I thought it was bad before when you guys came out here to Denver. Now it's like people are mental. They're like off the wall.
I'll bet.
Did you guys see the thing on Huffington Post about the halo over the stadium?
I don't know that's where I saw it, but I saw that picture. It was like a cloud, like something.
Yeah, it was like a contrail from a plane or something. Oh, now they're predicting there's going to be a halo over Gillette. And, I mean, it is just mental. It's so, gone beyond common sense. It's gone to mental. So, it's just hysterically funny.
So let me get it straight. They're crazy. They think that Denver's going to win, but they're not saying they're going to win because of football. They're saying it's the other things. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Eric thinks the Patriots are going to win for other things.
It's just nuts. I mean, it goes beyond crazy. I've actually gotten a couple of calls from some TV and radio stations wanting to come to our bar to, you know, to do some filming and do a little story and all this kind of jazz.
Oh, nice. That'd be great. Are you going to let them do it?
Oh, yeah. I said, come on down.
Okay. Now, are you at the same bar that you had the party?
No, that's up in Denver. Where we were up in
Denver. You're in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, we're in Colorado Springs. We're at a bar called the Fox and Hounds.
Okay.
And they're being wicked good to us. I mean, they've always been good to us because they're our home bar, so to speak. And, but they're going to have, we have our regular north room, and then we're going to have half the main room, and one half will be red, white, and blue balloons, and the other half will be orange, white, and blue balloons. And
right.
Be a zoo.
Let that TV station, because sometimes they set you up in, you know, because you're in the middle of Broncos country, they might be coming in to make fun of you.
Oh,
you know,
I'm too for that. I'm from Hyde Park.
Okay. All right. You take care of them. All right.
I will.
All right.
I just had to call and say hi because it is like insane out here. We have to win, or I might have to just like string myself up.
No. You'll be fine. Don't worry about a blowout win.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah, you know what? My head, intelligent-wise, I'm like, there's no way we're going to lose. There's just no way.
Well, there's but it's unlikely.
It's very unlikely.
Yeah. There's no way. You're right, Ann. No way.
All right, Ann. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
And go pop all those orange balloons when you get there.
Well, if there is a way, Freddie, it doesn't look like that wind problem will be one of the ways that Denver will win. According to this forecast that Kevin just printed out for me, it is going to get cold, as we said, probably down around 20, maybe even below 20. Saturday night, but winds from the northwest at 11 miles per hour. So not 40-mile-an-hour winds that are going to impact the passing game.
Tomorrow. I think they were off by a day. And you know what Casey O'Connell, the former PR assistant director, says.
When temperatures drop,
the Patriots heat up.
And Stripper says that at the most it'll be 16-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, it's during the day. Yeah, he's
right.
Stripper is right.
Yeah. You win. Brady can throw in 16, as long as it's not 40. 40 could be an issue.
Let's see. David has a joke. He said, God is eating dinner alone. Aaron Rodgers approaches the table, and God asks, what do you believe? Rodgers says, I believe in hard work and in staying true to family and friends. God can't help but see the goodness of Rodgers and offers him a seat to his left. Tim Tebow walks up, and God says, what do you believe? Tebow says, I believe in your total goodness, love, and generosity, and that you have given to all of mankind. God is greatly moved by Tebow's eloquence and offers him a seat at his right. Finally, Tom Brady comes over to the table. And you, Tom, what do you believe? Tom replies, I believe you're in my seat.
I saw that coming.
I heard that this morning.
That's good, though. I like those jokes.
And Matt from Brooklyn, Matt, says he has a joke for Andy.
All right.
He says, hi, guys. I was on for 11 minutes yesterday with Eric, Rook, and Pete. I had a really good time. Anyway, hey, Andy, earlier Paul was impersonating you being your cantankerous self at 5 years old. That was, me. And having issues with why the chicken crossed the road. Here's one for you. Why did the pervert cross the road? Because his member was stuck in the chicken. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, I thought because you wanted to meet up with Eric on the other side of the street.
Yeah. That wasn't a good joke, man.
Did you know they really did chickens?
Oh, sure.
There was a lot of that in early American literature. I remember reading those stories in college, and I'm like, what? You had sex with a chicken? Like, on what level is that? What do you say? They're wired wrong?
Yeah.
They're wired wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, a chicken. Isn't a chicken like a little angry, dirty, gross bird?
When I was in the...
what's attractive about that?
When I was in the Caribbean...
Well, what's attractive about any animal?
When I was in the Caribbean... I
some are
this guy
than
told
others.
Me that he was working
a panda.
And this'll you'll never go to a restaurant again. This guy was working in the kitchen of a restaurant. He folded over a slab of meat and did the slab of meat. So
That's the grossest thing I've
ever heard.
I don't
believe those stories. You know me.
You don't believe it?
I don't believe those stories.
Okay. Well, anyway, with that, that'll be it for this edition of
Banana
PFW.
What better way to end a playoff
week? Banana peel in the microwave for a couple
We've got
seconds.
Pregame social pie. On Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and of course, kickoff 8:15. I can't wait.
2 hours of Tim Tebow bashing.
We will see you next Tuesday.
Can't wait. On an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me. For what you need, I'll need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet. Been done that. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. My star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me. So how you gonna do it? I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.